Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Tonight's bad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. This is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. Get up! We have much, 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 much stuff to talk about. Yeah, you need to get to me. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. Oh, Lord, we have so much stuff to talk about. So much stuff to talk about. I just heard Donald Rumsfeld on the air. It's so hard. Having your way all of the time is just so hard. You know, we need to pray for folks that get everything that they scream and yell for, huh? Huh? Donald Rumsfeld was saying, if he is not the poster child for, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? He is the poster child for that. He is the poster child for that phrase. You open up the dictionary, the dictionary on phrase, words and phrasals. Who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? As you know, that's the phrase you use when you catch somebody dead-handed, red-handed. And they look up at you and have the nerve to say, have the gall to say, have the wickedness to say, have the lying spirit to say, look you dead in the face and say, who you gonna believe? My words or those stupid eyes of yours that see? Who you gonna believe? Your lying eyes. That's Donald Rumsfeld. 24/7. That's Donald Rumsfeld. So and he was hollering at them, at folks saying, the war in Iraq is going well. Doggone it, it's just that media. They just keep lying about what's going on. If you could talk to the Iraqi people, once they come out of their houses, you talk to them, things are going all right, huh? Where? Well, Donnie. There's a report that came out of, what's that mean old Democratic rag? What's it called? Oh, yeah, it's called USA Today. 8,000 members of the all-volunteer U.S. military have deserted since the Iraq war began. Dang! 8,000 members of the all-volunteer, I guess they're saying, you know what? I didn't volunteer for this. 8,000 members of the all-volunteer army have deserted since the Iraq war began. How's that war going for us? That's 4,387 soldiers, 3,454 Navy sailors, 82 Air Force personnel, the Marine Corps doesn't, I'm sure there's a story in this. The Marine Corps doesn't count. Is it their inability to count, or is it their decision not to count? They don't count the number of deserters. There were 1,400 Marines that deserted since last September. The question that you need to be asking is how does this desertion rate compare with, oh, I don't know, what was that war called? What's that war called? Vietnam? What do you think, boys and girls? Members of the jury? Class? What do you think? Class? Do you think that the numbers of desertion are higher during this illegal war or during that illegal war? Now, mind you, I just want you to understand this. During the Vietnam War, people were drafted. They had to go, which one would think would mean that the numbers of desertions would be higher because you were pulled away from your family and you didn't plan on going. Or this war where it's an all-volunteer staff. Well, what do you think, class? Higher numbers of higher desertion rate during the Vietnam War or during the Iraqi occupation? Get your answers in. Get your answers in. The answer is that it's higher now. It's higher now. People are running from the military. Now, according to Army spokesperson Major Elizabeth Robbins, even though she has a great first name, she is really, listen to what she says. She says, opposition to the war prompts a small fraction of deserters. People always desert, and most do it because they don't adapt well to the military. Opposition to the war. Well, baby, if you haven't found them, if you don't know where they are, if they have deserted, how do you know what their reasons for desertions are? How would you know? Do they tell you, look, I'm leaving because I just don't adapt well and I'm not coming back. Did they tell you that? Isn't that some stuff? Isn't that some stuff? Most are apprehended during traffic stops. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Donald Rumsfeld says the war is going good. The war is going good. Huh, okay, okay. I guess it depends on what your definition of good is, right? I guess if your pocketbook says things are good, then things must be good for everybody. But when I was a child, I thought like a child type of world. If you remember when you were a baby, you had this myopic worldview. Remember when you were little? You swore to God. You swore. When you closed your eyes to go to sleep at night, that everybody else in the world was asleep too, that nothing happened until you woke up in the morning. That's what children think. They think that everything in the world is going as their world is going. That's Donnie Rumsfeld. My pocketbook's doing fine. I don't know why your pocketbook's doing fine. Why don't you ask my daddy who's a millionaire? Well, why don't you ask your daddy? Like I asked my millionaire daddy. Things are going good, huh? Really? I don't know. Why don't y'all take my hand as we take a little trip to Vermont. Newfane, Vermont. Newfane, VT. That's short for Vermont. Let's take a little stroll to Vermont. And all you got to do is like close your eyes a little bit. Don't worry, the world doesn't disappear. Close your eyes. Imagine, if you will, a white clapboard town hall. You walk into the town hall and you smell linseed oil just because everything is wooden. Big, thick, wooden, cherry wood tables and shiny, glowing, polished, highly polished wood. Not a whole lot of furniture because they have sparse furniture. In Vermont. You see, the town halls that go back to circa 1832. So you walk into this town hall. All of these little bundled up Vermontians. Gray-haired little old white ladies and bald-headed little bespeckled white men sitting around in their town hall fixing to vote. Are they voting on whether to extend? Oh, I don't know. Put another stoplight on Main Street. You think they're voting to do away with daylight savings time? Oh no, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, these Vermontians, these hearty Vermontians in their white clapboard town hall dating back to 1862, these little old folks, little middle-aged folks, little young folks gathered on a cold and blustery day to vote on one thing and one thing only. There in Newfane, Vermont. They went in. They gathered together to vote on the impeachment of George W. Bush. That's right. Board member Dan DeWalt said, and I quote, in the U.S. presently, there are only a few places where citizens can act in this fashion and have a say in our nation. He was talking about the proud Yankee tradition in New England. You see, Dan DeWalt was the man who drafted the impeachment article. The article was voted on, and they voted on it with pieces of paper. The article was approved. What do you think the voting was, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Class. The article was approved 121-29. Now, some of y'all out there are thinking, so what? George, he's our man. If you don't like him, we can. You're thinking of this in terms of a political sports a game. Well, actually, because this voting of impeachment happened in Vermont, you know what it means? It calls on Vermont's lone member of the House, independent Bernie Sanders, to file articles of impeachment against George W. Bush. The impeachment discussion took up almost a half an hour. Ann Landenberger argued that it was appropriate. As a teacher, I can't say to my kids that what happens on the national level doesn't affect us on the local level. They're asking their congressman, their lone congressman, to draw up articles of impeachment. Well, let the games begin. And let me just share this with you. If the Wall Street Journal is publishing a poll taken by Zogby, commissioned by, again, this is what has to happen, commissioned by liberal Democrats. They paid for it. They went to Zogby. Zogby finally agreed to do it. They did a poll on whether Americans believe that George W. Bush should be impeached if he lied about getting us into war. Guess what? 51% of American people said, yes, impeach him if he lied. Impeach him. And that was in the Wall Street Journal. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Revolution@LizBrown.com. That's my email. LizBrown.com. That's my website. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. Because we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
We have a really bad connection.
Oh, can you hear me now?
It's a really bad hum. Why don't you give us a call back, Andre?
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Liz, people, right now, thousands of Americans, innocent men, women, and children, are suffering, some horribly, physically, because they are being used as guinea pigs and being exposed to dangerous and even deadly electronic weapons testing, including the use of microwave testing on these poor individuals without their knowledge or permission. This is a national travesty that has not even begun to surface yet. But I urge everybody to contact your senators and your representatives in Congress and demand that they pass legislation prohibiting this, specifically this kind of activity. There is a website that gives privately proposed legislation, spells it out, tells you how to contact your representatives, your so-called elected officials, and respectfully but but seriously urge them to pass this legislation. That website is www.secretangel.tv, not .com, secretangel.tv. Please help people in this country being brutally used like guinea pigs in a laboratory. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Steve. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Turn on your television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even when the darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
It's a real sun.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Westbound 44 after US 50 is closed due to an accident. Traffic is being diverted onto US 50. Eastbound 70 from Forestell exit. Look for a minor accident, partially blocking the right lane. Westbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and disabled vehicle in the left lane is partially blocked. Eastbound 70 at Air Flight and Lambert Airport. Look for slow due to a couple of incidents on both shoulders this hour. Eastbound 40 at Mason Road and Brentwood. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 70 from 370 to Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill to Holly Hills. Nothing to report there. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to Graham Hanley is on the move. Northbound 270 from Tucson Ferry to 44 looks good as well. Westbound 5570 at the PSB is flowing freely this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 before the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems to report there. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Everything is on the move. Eastbound Martin Luther King Bridge at Missouri Bank is closed due to casino construction work. Traffic is backing up to 5570 at this hour. Union and Moffitt, there's a report of an injury accident. And Maple at Hamilton, there's an accident involving a bus this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary financial or accounting help, call Account Temps. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, breezy, occasional showers, possible thunderstorms even. This evening, occasional showers and thunderstorms with a low around 55. For Thursday, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rainfall may be possible. The high should be in the lower 60s. Thursday evening, colder, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers with a low in the lower 40s. And on Friday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees under some skies with some light drizzle. Lambert Field is reporting 46, clouds and some light rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now. So I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Champions are coming. Direct from the 2006 Winter Games in Torino, it's John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Don't miss your chance to see all the newly crowned world and national champions, featuring Michelle Kwan, Sasha Cohen, Johnny Weir, plus Irina Slutskaya, Evgeny Plashenko, Stefan Lombiev, Kenneth Velvet, and Ben Augusto, and many more champions. You've seen them winning gold, silver, and bronze, world championships, and national titles. Now, see the greatest figure skaters in the world live. The music, the lights, and the big production numbers that make Champions on Ice the only show to see. The champions are coming. John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Treat yourself and your family to this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the best figure skaters in the world. Coming to Savas Center, Sunday, June 18th at 3 p.m. Call 314-241-1888 for tickets today.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri-St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri-St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Number, baby. My name is Liz Brown. Here's my number: 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How's it going?
Outstanding.
Good. Hey, I'm for impeachment. I'm definitely for it. Do you think though we could look at Russian intelligence and Egyptian intelligence, and British intelligence and French intelligence? Everybody else that said that he did have weapons of mass destruction, or do you still believe that he didn't?
Do I still believe that who didn't have weapons of mass destruction?
Saddam Hussein?
Oh, of course. I believe. I mean, it's not a matter of whether I believe it. It's a matter of whether he did or he didn't, and he didn't.
He didn't. He
no.
Didn't.
No.
I'm sure you laughed about. What do you think about George Sada and what he claims?
The fact of the matter is that if we're talking about impeachment, Scott, we're talking
yeah.
about what George Bush knew at the time. And the fact
okay.
of the matter is that George Bush, I think we need to have an inquiry into whether or not George Bush knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction.
So there were no weapons of mass destruction.
One more time. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Absolutely not.
Okay.
One more
time. So what about George Sada and them flying 56 flights full of weapons of mass destruction to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did that not occur?
Is Syria Iraq?
Well, when he gives them to Syria, does that not mean that he had them?
Is Syria Iraq? We went and we should have invaded Syria then, right?
Do we know that that's what he did with them?
Again, the charge brought to the American people is twofold, Scott. One, that Saddam Hussein had
weapons of mass destruction.
And number two, that Saddam Hussein was fixing to use those weapons of mass destruction on us. So Syria allegedly having weapons of mass destruction, Syria allegedly getting weapons of mass destruction from Saddam Hussein has nothing to do with what the American people, what the United States Congress was told as the reason to go into Iraq.
Okay. So you're telling me that if he had them, but then he gave them to somebody else, that he didn't have them?
Well, if you have an apple and you give me an apple, do you have an apple anymore?
That's an amazing argument. Yeah. So you don't believe
Let's go back to the apple. Let's just keep it simple,
sure.
Scott.
Okay,
if you have an apple and
I give it to you, I'm still guilty.
Guilty of not having an apple, but guilty of giving somebody an apple. George Bush didn't come to the United States.
Is that how you tried criminal?
Wait a minute. I was very successful at it, too. The fact of the matter is that George Bush did not come to the American people and say, look, Saddam Hussein gave weapons of mass destruction to Syria. That's not what he said.
We didn't know that.
But that's not what he said. And if Saddam Hussein had them and gave them away, that still does not make what George Bush told the American people accurate. Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. And you know what? If George Bush, like the apple analogy, Scott, if George Bush knew that Saddam Hussein had an apple and gave it away and came to you and said, let's go beat up this guy because he has apples, when he knows that the apples were given away, that makes George Bush a liar and should be impeached.
That's an amazing argument.
It's a solid argument.
Would you let us call Vladimir Putin to the stand and ask him if after 2001, if Saddam was planning an attack on the United States?
Absolutely. And again, we will go back to
what
George W. Bush said. Because what we did, Scott, was something that had never been done in the history of this Congress. This person in the White House went to Congress and said, let us preemptively strike a nation that has not done anything to us based on the fact that we are in such an immediate need because Saddam Hussein is getting ready to. There's a mushroom cloud, as Condoleezza Rice and as Dick Cheney said, there's a mushroom cloud fixing to happen if we don't attack him. Bring anybody you want to the stand.
What did Slobodan Milosevic do to us?
Again,
that was bad too.
Again, the American people were told that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and he's fixing to use. And you know why most Americans now believe this war is a bad thing?
Because most people are idiots.
Oh, well, then I guess that includes you and your family.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hey, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, what give the United States a right to dictate who has weapons of mass destruction and they can attack them? But check this out. China got them. Russia got them. India got them. Pakistan got them. And they haven't done anything to those countries. You know what I see? I see it just a fight over some war and a race war. That's all I see. It's killing some Iraqis. And when you hear these sick white people come on the radio talking about the United States got right to dictate who shall live and who shall die, I think they got a problem.
Thanks for your call, Larry.
All right, man.
454-0400 is my phone number. Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know what? Let Scott give me his paycheck and see if he still has it. Since he thinks that way about the apple, get his paycheck. that was That was interesting. And Liz, please don't tell me that these big macho jarhead Marines are actually tucking tail and running. They can't see it.
8,000 soldiers and the all-volunteer army have deserted. 4,387 Army, 3,454 Navy, 82 Air Force, and the Marine Corps, 1,455.
But they're always the first ones in. They're the first ones ready to fight. Isn't that interesting?
Well, you know, let's have a discussion about what fighting is.
Well, we can't say that word on the air.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I ain't mad at anybody that is angry at this government for this illegal war.
No.
I'm not angry at anybody. I think that we were lied to.
You're not angry. There's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And as far as, you know, there's something else that I want to mention, too, that I think is really interesting. This story that I've been hearing all morning about there are 18 bodies that they found mysteriously in this van. In a Shiite, I think it was, neighborhood. Am I just being paranoid, or does this sound like something more that the CIA might cook up? We're handcuffed mostly, strangled, shot, and then just dumped in very conveniently in this particular neighborhood. Now, this seems like more of this hitting one group against another to me.
It sounds like that same kind of mess. Got to roll, Andre. Thank
okay.
you. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Get to me, get to me, get to me. Get to me. Did I say that? Get to me.
Treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. Another mass execution has been discovered in the capital city. 18 men were found shot and strangled in a minibus in the western section of Baghdad yesterday. All of the victims were bound and blindfolded. Police say there were no ID papers on any of the men, who were dressed in civilian clothes and ranged in age from young to middle-aged. It's unclear at this time if these bodies are related to continuing violence between Sunni and Shia groups. But in a related story, the Los Angeles Times is out today with an interview with Iraqi envoy Zalmay Khalilzad, who's quoted as saying the U.S. now has no choice but to keep its strong presence in Iraq to prevent the sectarian violence from bursting into full-fledged civil war. Khalilzad says the invasion in 2003 opened up a Pandora's box of tensions in Iraq, and there remains a concerted effort to incite a civil war. Khalilzad says if that does happen, it would make what happened in Afghanistan under the Taliban look like child's play. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld insists there is no civil war going on now, and that news reports are grossly exaggerating the situation there. And Dateline Lagos. The government of Nigeria has removed the army general who was in charge of fighting against militant groups in the Niger Delta region. Brigadier General Elias Zamani has been redeployed, according to an army spokesperson. But his removal was one of the demands made by rebels holding 3 foreign oil workers hostage. Attacks against oil-producing facilities and workers in the Niger Delta region have caused a drop in oil exports from Nigeria by about 20%. 6 hostages were released by their captors last week, but 2 more Americans and 1 British worker are still into their second week of captivity now. They were taken hostage while installing a pipeline for Shell Oil. Rebel leaders say that they want Shell to comply with a recent court order to pay over $1 billion in compensation for ecological damage its operations have caused in the Niger Delta region. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening. California.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? But Sears, you're going to get your shop on. Here's a wonderful, wonderful sale. A hometown celebration day. What better place to celebrate it? At your own hometown Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge, 3425 Union. At this sale, 10% off of regular and sale prices. They also have 0% APR financing until January 07 with any tractor that you purchase over $249. Come on, a hometown celebration day at your hometown Sears at 3425 Union. Go talk to Jerome Williams. I'm Liz Brown. When you get to 3425 Union Sears on Monday for your hometown celebration day, tell him I told you to.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack. I want a rim shot, hey, dig, 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 a rim shot, hey, come on, a rim shot, hey, dig, 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 a rim shot.
I said I need to hear a rim shot. 454-0400. Did I tell you my name? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. I said get to me at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to stutter till the battle is won. Y'all need to get that memo to the over to the U.K., because British troops could start leaving Iraq within weeks. Your friends are leaving. Your friends are leaving. In an interview with The Guardian, Lieutenant General Nick Houghton said that they're pulling their troops out so that the Iraqi people won't come to see them as a resident force. While we, on the other hand, are out here we're out here building condos, building jails, building apartment buildings. The British are pulling out in the next couple of weeks because they don't want the Iraqi people to see them as a permanent resident. We've built military bases, what is it, 20 of them? UK's leaving. We're staying. So what does that mean in terms of the financial obligation of the United States? Not to mention the body obligation of the United States. 8,000 people leaving, or what's the word I'm looking for, deserting the Army, the Air Force, the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines are all being deserted. Folks are deserting them. You know what? I want to come home for a minute. I want to come back to the United States for a minute. I want to come back. I want to come back and just remind you that we had a conversation with someone the other day about how excited they were about the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned. And my explanation to this cheerleader for the Republican Party, as if this is a sporting game and their team is ahead. The reality is that all Americans are on the same team. And as a result of the decisions that are being made, this is not a game, because people live or die based upon, not figuratively live or die, actually live or die, based upon the decisions that are made in Washington, D.C. And the reality is that far too many citizens are used. Let me back up just a little bit. Far too many American citizens, voting citizens, people that feel passionately about some issues and care enough to go out and vote. Your politicians, your elected officials, in many cases, have absolutely disgust for you. They don't care about you. And Duke Cunningham is a perfect example of that. Duke Cunningham went to Washington, D.C. and made millions of dollars as a result of selling his vote to the highest bidder, sometimes the lowest bidder, sometimes for an antique commode. That's a toilet, folks. He sold his vote out for a toilet. What do you think he care about you? And you need to understand that the contempt that these elected officials and these Republican elected officials and many Democratic elected officials, the contempt that they have affects the quality of life that you have. And let me tell you about a piece of contempt that they have for you. Republicans in Congress are trying to limit the scope of any investigation into how George Bush's secret domestic spying program has operated. They are trying to, and why are they doing this? Because they want to be reelected, and they don't want any more wounds on George W. Bush. Is that in your best interest? Don't you at least as an American want to know if what he is saying is true? If the spying is just on the tourists? Don't you want to know if that's true or not? Don't you think we need to look into that? And this shows the contempt that these lawmakers have for you. Because these were the same lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, that were howling when they found out about this. And now that they've had a cooling off period and they've a reality check from Karl Rove, a reality check from Dick Cheney, shoot him in the heart, shoot him in the head, shoot him in the body, Dick Cheney. Now that they've had that conversation, they said, okay, which one matters to me? The American people knowing the truth about whether they are being spied on by their government or me getting to keep my gig? I'll go with my gig. Republican lawmakers are trying to limit the scope of any investigation into the secret spying on you. You think they care about you? Let me just break it down. Your Republican congressman, your war hero, your fly boy, your top gunner, Duke Cunningham, put an object that human waste is deposited in before his constituents. He cared more about an 18th century commode than he cared about your future, your son's future, your daughter's future, this country's future. So my question to you is that do you trust these guys? You better wake up. You better wake up. If they would put a toilet over you, know this. You ain't got anything in the toilet that goes in the toilet coming to you. My name is Liz Brown. On that pleasant note, enjoy your breakfast, and I will be back with St. Louis Public School Watch. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace. down and would kill tonight. Remember? I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
There's been much progress made, but there is much work to be done.
And White House spokesman Scott McClellan says President Bush will get a look at just how far the Gulf Coast has come 6 months after Hurricane Katrina and how much more needs to be done. ABC's Jeff Morrell has details from Washington.
President Bush heads to New Orleans and Mississippi's Gulf Coast. There he will get an update on how those areas are recovering from the storm, and he will publicly pressure Congress to pass his most recent aid request, totaling $19.8 billion.
This is the president's 10th visit to the Gulf Coast, since the storm. When the president returns to Washington, he'll sign a bill to renew the Patriot Act. The House passed it last night by just 2 votes. The measure's already made it through the Senate. More Republicans are saying they're against a plan to give an Arab-owned company control of the nation's busiest ports. And this won't help the White House effort to get more support for the deal. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has more on a report that was obtained by ABC News about the lack of security at 2 of the ports.
Every week, scores of cargo ships pass through the busy ports of New York and New Jersey. The Homeland Security report says truck drivers who pick up and deliver the cargo have nearly total access to the ports with virtually no background checks.
We have no idea who's in the port.
Stephen Flynn, a security expert with the Council on Foreign Relations, agrees that is a serious cause for concern. The report found port IDs were given to some truckers who have criminal records for murder, drug dealing, and more. A major security breach, experts worry, terrorists could easily exploit. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Another violent day in Iraq. A string of explosions in and around Baghdad has left at least 4 people dead. 2 of the victims, were told, were children. They were killed by a roadside bomb that was intended for a U.S. patrol. Nearly 24 bodies were found elsewhere. Many had been hanged. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
I'm a check-and-go store manager. Providing extra cash for your needs is our business. Almost anyone can use some extra cash now and then. At Check-and-Go, you can get the cash you need, and we'll hold your personal check until payday. Contact us, and we'll explain everything and make it easy for you.
Call 1-800-561-CASH to find a Check-and-Go near you, or get a cash advance online at checkandgo.com.
Cash advance is subject to certain terms and conditions. See website for details. Ohio license 750310. Rhode Island license check casher.
At least 4 people were killed by a fast-moving fire at an apartment building in suburban Atlanta. Authorities so far say the cause is officially unknown, but arson investigators are on the scene. Would Dana Reeve be alive today if her lung cancer had been diagnosed earlier? That's hard to say, but Massachusetts Senator John Kerry on CNN's Larry King Live last night says it does show that a real need for new and better testing.
The question is really, you know, what are we going to do with this? You know, we're going to have the Larry King show tonight and sort of go through this public grieving, which is important, but she wouldn't be happy with that, and he wouldn't, unless we translate it into what they were fighting for.
Reeve, the widow of actor Christopher Reeve, died on Monday. She was 44. The poppies are popping up all over Afghanistan. Pretty to look at, yeah, but just as quickly the feds are plowing them down. The flowers used to make the drug opium, and now narcotics agents are using tractors to get rid of them. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Time for a report of
WGNU News. This update is brought to you by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, a search for a missing girl in Wellston has a happy ending. The 9-year-old girl was found unharmed and reunited with her mother last night after her father allegedly refused to return the child from a weekend visit. The girl's father faces outstanding drug and weapons warrants and is expected to be charged with parental kidnapping. He's still at large currently. More information is expected to be released later today. In House Springs, a 3-year-old boy is dead after a fire at his Jefferson County home. The fire broke out around 6:30 last night in a mobile home in the Bear Creek Estates subdivision in House Springs. Several others escaped from the home, but the boy was trapped in a bedroom until firefighters rescued him. The child died later at an area hospital. At least two others are hospitalized in unknown condition. In other news, the Lincoln County Sheriff's Department is trying to identify a person whose remains were found in Quiver River State Park. A survey crew in the park found the skeletal remains of a man yesterday morning, along with the victim's clothes. Investigators are working to find the cause of the victim's death. In Belleville, a man's dead and two others are hospitalized after a crash. Investigators say 25-year-old Michael Perry collided with an SUV that turned into his path on Illinois Route 160 near St. Morgan around noon yesterday. Perry died less than an hour later at a local emergency room. An elderly man and woman in the SUV remain hospitalized. There are no details available on their condition. And in East St. Louis, funeral arrangements are pending for a local blues musician who's now been positively identified. Officials say a relative of 86-year-old Clarence Johnson identified his body yesterday. Johnson was taken from his unheated East St. Louis apartment to a hospital in mid-February and died of hypothermia at the hospital. And finally, a St. Louis man is jailed on charges that he carjacked a vehicle in St. Charles. Police say 29-year-old Mark Stokes forced a woman out of her car on 5th Street and then led officers on a chase into St. Louis County. Stokes was eventually arrested in St. John. He's being held on a $100,000 bond on a charge of second-degree robbery. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT has begun improvements that will soon make I-44 smoother and safer. This will take time, so visit MoDOT.org before you hit the road to locate I-44 work zones. MoDOT.org. Arrive alive. I'm Peyton Colston for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 44 after US 50, that accident has been cleared and traffic should be back to normal there. Eastbound 270 at 159 is closed due to an accident. Actually, before 159 is closed due to an accident. Westbound 44 at Jamerson, there's a report of an overturned vehicle on the roadway. Emergency equipment has two right lanes blocked and there's a brief slowdown at this hour. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry, disabled vehicle reportedly blocking the left lane. Expect delays near 367. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel to Fifi, no problems to report. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Loughborough, everything's on the move. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane on those exit approaches. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and 44, it's slow. Eastbound 40 at McKnight and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, it's slow. And westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 before the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report on those approaches there. Westbound 64 at 5570, normal traffic. Martin Luther King Bridge westbound at the Missouri Bank is closed due to casino construction. The right lane is closed and traffic backs up at 5570. State Highway P at Coke Road, there's an overturned vehicle in O'Fallon. Route 147, there's at North Service Road in Warrenton, there's an injury accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Breezy, occasional showers and thunderstorms today. High around 60 this evening. Occasional showers and thunderstorms. Low around 55. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rainfall may be possible. High should be in the lower 60s. Thursday evening, cloudy, mostly or cloudy, colder, with a chance for showers. The low in the lower 40s. Friday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast conditions and some drizzle and 45 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 46 with some light rain. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. So brothers, help me sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. So brothers, help me sister.
For us to use our power. Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
The following hour is sponsored by the committee to elect
this
Peter Downs.
This is St. Louis
Kathy
Schools
Steyer,
Watch with Treasurer. Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome back to the, this is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch, and I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
This is so interesting, the stuff that we have to put out here today. It's just amazing, amazing stuff. I just kind of want to set it up this way, if I may. Peter, a major concern that people have had about this school district and about Craig Williams, who makes more money than Bill Clinton made when he was president, $25,000 a month, is that Craig Williams continues the legacy, the Cheney-esque legacy, that being a legacy of non-inclusion of parents. In fact, it's not even just non-inclusion, but it seems to be a contempt of parents and a real desire to keep them from knowing anything. There also seems to be a contempt of teachers and a contempt of administrators and just this whole pity, this whole division of I decide, you act. I rule, you do this. There is no inclusion in the decisions that are being made for thousands of St. Louis Public Schools students and thousands of St. Louis Public School parents, and it's, and for an entire city, because how a school system goes is how a city goes. This happened, the first thing that happened when Roberti got in office, got in this position, closed down all of those public schools without any input from the any citizen out there. And this legacy seems to be, no, this legacy is being continued up with Craig Williams and the people that are on this board, Darnetta Klingstell-Shamel and Jim Buford Slay. And I think, Peter, I'd like for you to talk about something that happened last night that is just, if this doesn't capsulize this Cheney-esque, this the way that Craig Williams runs the school board and why so many people need to really be aware of what's happening in the St. Louis Public Schools. There's a reason why bad things are happening.
Okay.
What happened
last
night? Yeah,
well, I just want to preface. You're right. You know, there's been a concern since Roberti about secretiveness. Mm-hmm. In the school district, in decisions about the schools. And I said that goes back to the school board. The school board runs the school district. We've had the same school board through four superintendents now.
And the same
three,
school
you know,
board
two and a half years.
And the same school
same
board,
school board
Darnetta,
president.
Darnetta Shamel.
Right. 2.5 years, four presidents. Mm. I mean, I'm sorry, four superintendents, 2.5 years, one school board president.
Okay.
And
one school board majority.
One school board majority, mm-hmm. Yes. One school board majority, one school board president, and they've been secretive throughout. They were state auditor Claire McCaskill criticized them for holding secret meetings and making decisions in secret, then kind of having these show meetings where they voted without any discussion. And we had last night a meeting of the school board. It's their administrative meeting, mm-hmm. which is where they decide what it is they're going to discuss mm-hmm. at the regular meeting. Mm-hmm. So all they do is decide whether they're going to discuss something or not. And school board member Bill Purdy made four motions to place things on the agenda that were seconded by Veronica O'Brien.
Now, when you say place things on the agenda, what does that mean, Peter?
That just means put them on the list of things to be discussed next Tuesday at the regular school board meeting.
So next Tuesday, when citizens come out and listen and try to find out what's going on with the school board, this would give citizens an opportunity to hear some issues and hear the discussion about these particular issues.
Correct.
And these issues are astounding. So what happened when they made this motion, seconded this motion to have these issues discussed in the light of day with the public?
Right. Let people know what these issues were, because these are things that parents have been discussing and holding meetings about in recent weeks. Two of the issues were with transportation. One was to discuss setting a policy.
Well, let me read it right quick.
Okay.
Let me read it right quick, because this is astounding that Jim Buford and Darnetta Klingstell didn't want the public to hear a discussion on this. The motion. The Board of Election directs the superintendent to immediately provide transportation to those students who qualify for free or reduced lunch prices and request transportation. Also, the superintendent is directed to engage in discussions with Bi-State to sell bus tickets inside the school to those students who want them. So in other words, kids that request transportation that are qualified for free or reduced lunch prices, they want to have a discussion on whether or not these kids would have transportation to school.
That's right. That's right.
Whether or not these kids should be able to ride a bus to school. And Jim Buford, who wants to be an elected official on the school board, said, no, we don't need a stinking discussion about this.
That's right. Jim Buford, Darnetta Klingscale, Ron Jackson, Bob Archibald all said, no, we don't want to discuss it.
Unbelievable. And this is not, there wasn't a vote, there wasn't going to be a vote on whether or not this was going to happen, was there?
No.
This was just going to be a discussion.
Just a discussion. The superintendent has a week then to prepare materials from the staff on whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, whether the district can afford it or not. You know, he has a week to prepare all that. This is just to put it up there for discussion.
For discussion. And they said no. In fact, didn't we have some school board members saying that, what did Jim Buford say? Did Jim Buford have some comments about this?
Yes. Jim Buford said it was improper. He said that, you know, school board shouldn't be doing this. This is micromanagement. Superintendent should be doing it.
Micromanaging, having a discussion. discussion about whether or not the superintendent should provide transportation to poor students to get to school.
Right.
And Peter, this is even more. Now let me read this other one here about the other transportation
okay.
issue. The Board of Education directs the superintendent to increase by a minimum of 3 the number of authorized positions to answer telephones and communicate information to parents. These additional positions are to be functional within 5 days of approval of this resolution. The transportation office is to be fully staffed to receive inquiries from parents until the last student has been transported home. The superintendent may relocate existing positions from other units or add new employees. The superintendent is to add additional telephone lines into the call center as appropriate. Parents can't call the transportation office right now and find out where the heck their child is, because how many people are working in the transportation office?
5.
5 people for how many students?
16,000.
16,000 students. And parents are staying on the phone lines for 30, 40 an hour trying to just talk to someone to find out where their baby is.
That's right. That's right. They had a meeting. You know, parents brought this up in comments to the board last month. Director of Transportation had a meeting with parents at Melanfi last week, and 80 parents there protesting, you know, their inability to get through and find out where their children are and children are late.
And
the Director of Transportation said, well, we only have 5 people. We're doing the best we can. And so this really comes out of that.
Wait a minute, and I want to jump to something really quick, but we're going to come back. And this same school board said we're going to pay $75,000 to a new chick that they're bringing into St. Louis, right?
Yes, they did.
Okay, they just hired some new chick at part-time salary. She's not even a full-time employee. She's getting $75,000, and she had really serious financial issues with her last job. We're going to talk about that a little later. But this board was asked to have a discussion that parents want about staffing the office that provides transportation, and Jim Buford said, we ain't having no stinking conversation about that in front of the public. That's not our job.
That's right. That's
what
right. All it is, you know, all it amounts to is the board discussing whether or not to set a policy that they want good customer service in transportation.
You know, I think Jim Buford really needs to, if he wants to be like George Bush, being the Republican that he is, I think he'll like this connection. If you want to be a cheerleader, go get a cheerleader's outfit and just stand behind Craig all day long and say, Craig, he's our man. If you can't have him, no one can. I mean, he could be a cheerleader because it sounds as if his philosophy of board membership is, I don't do anything. I just sit here and let Craig make all the decisions.
Yeah, I think that's a fair description. You know, and he has described that in many community meetings, saying he's just there to support Craig Williams.
Well, then get a cheerleader's outfit and be a cheerleader and get out of the way of being a school board member.
Right. The school board is supposed to direct the superintendent.
That's right. Okay. So Jim Buford and Darnetta Klingstell said, no, we're not going to discuss these two transportation issues in front of the public. What else did they say no to?
There are two more issues. Yes. Extension of the school day.
Okay.
That's another thing. There have been, at this point, I think over 1,000 signatures turned in to the school board from parents protesting plans to add another 20 minutes to the school day next year and an additional 18 minutes the year after that.
And we're already the school district with the longest
school day. Already a school district with the longest day.
And we have the fewest people in the transportation office, so parents can't find out where their kids are in this long school day. And now this school district wants to make the day longer without any discussion with the parents.
That's right. That's right. It's already kids are getting out so late that they can't participate in programs from other public agencies in St. Louis even.
Mm.
You know, the St. Louis Public Library has reading programs at 3:30. Public school students, public school elementary students can't participate in those because they get out of school at 4:08.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have, you know, libraries, lots of programs for parochial schools then, you know, but not for public schools. And again, you know, kids can't participate in any other after-school activity. There isn't family time. There's a whole host of things that parents presented as problems with this extra-long school day. And teachers have talked about it. It's already so long that children, you know, they aren't concentrating at the end anyways.
Mm.
But again,
no discussion.
Buford, Klingscale, Jackson, Archibald said, no, we don't want to discuss it. You know, just forgetting, you know, putting aside the point that it's the school board that set the policy that said we want a longer school day to begin with. It was this school board majority that back in January said...
Without any public discussion.
Without any public
without
discussion.
Without talking to any parents, without talking to any teachers, they said, make the day longer.
That's right. And without a vote at a school board meeting.
You know, and I want to have this quick discussion because it's mind-boggling to me how anybody could be a cheerleader for Craig Williams. Because the fact of the matter is that Craig Williams has no record as a superintendent anywhere. So we're not saying that we're going to bring somebody in that has all this experience to deal with this district. This is a school board that's paying $25,000 a month to a person that's never been a superintendent anyway, and yet you're going to be a cheerleader from you don't know this person. You never met this person before they got to St. Louis. He has no track record as a superintendent anywhere. So how on earth could you be a cheerleader for someone that you couldn't possibly, don't possibly know anything about? And ever since Craig Williams has been here, we've had story after story of problems at Vishon. We've had story, parents, kids not being able to get their kids, all kinds of the accreditation issue, all kinds of negative stories about this district since this man got here. So I don't understand how anybody could be a cheerleader for someone who they couldn't possibly know and doesn't have a record to know about.
I can't answer that one.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. And this is the other person, the other issue that was asked of the that they wanted to discuss at the school board meeting, which would have been lovely. And it speaks to the issue of as a person of African descent, this is very important to me. The issue before the board was the St. Louis Board of Education, by way of this resolution, requests that the Board of Directors and Administrative Officials at St. Louis University name the new basketball arena the Waring Center in honor of the historic significance of the school that once stood proudly on the corner of Compton and Market for over 66 years. Waring School was constructed in the old Mill Creek Valley community, open for black students in 1940, and it's a hugely significant school. And this wouldn't make St. Louis University name the school. Good and doggone well, they're not going to name the school concerning any black folks. I know that's not going to happen. But the fact of the matter is that there should be a discussion about this. And Jim Buford, who is concerned about black kids, and Arnetta Clinton, who's concerned about black kids, don't want to have this discussion. Didn't want to have this discussion. This is not anything for the public to discuss. We don't need any stinking public commentary on this. It would make us look bad, which is really
the bottom line.
Comes down to. It's that all of these discussions would make us look bad. Now, this isn't about the kids. It's about making them look bad. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Irma.
Yes. Hello, Liz. This is Irma. And I would like to know, what is Mary doing? Mary Armstrong over the union has been there ever since this thing has happened. Now, the teachers have an opportunity tonight to go to a meeting, the general membership meeting that's going to be at 5916 Wilson, off of Hampton, by Highway 44 from 5 to 7. And if these teachers sit back here and let this stuff continue to happen, you know, that is totally a shame.
Thanks for your call, Irma. I really want to reiterate, if we can, Peter, before we get to this break, next break, the huge issue that we reported last week, I just want to underscore that about the charter school plan. Talk to us about that, what we talked about last week, about the creation of the charter school district.
Yeah, we talked about last week about sources in the district saying that there is a plan for the creation of several charter schools, essentially a little charter school district that will be presented to the board after the April election, because the board members don't know about it yet,
and that the plan is to keep it from being out here in the public, so that people would not make a decision on election day
right.
with this knowledge. And the creation of the school district there would be a new board.
There'd be a new board appointed.
And it would be appointed. We wouldn't have any input into that. They would take money from the St. Louis public schools and pour it into these charter schools. They could take any school in the city of St. Louis and turn it into a charter school. In fact, you heard something last night that kind of gets to the movement towards the creation of this charter school district.
I did. there was something last night. There was an alderman, Southside alderman, Ken Ortman, talking about the Carnahan School is going to become the school of the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Carnahan, I think that the plan here is to transition it into a high school.
Mm-hmm.
With some computer programs, I mean, you know, some curriculum around computers, and that's why they're tagging it with School of the Future, which is a tagline that's been used for school, different types of schools all across the country. It's you know, an advertising tagline. But it is, Carnahan currently is a middle school, underused right now, but it would be a transition to a high school. There hasn't been a lot of public discussion about specific school plans, but supposedly Craig Williams is going to have a press conference, a big media kickoff of this this Friday.
School board members didn't know anything about that.
Actually, I think school board members did.
Okay.
I think school board members discussed this and all these school plans back in October or November. In a closed meeting. They have not discussed these in open meetings.
And that's really the whole the reason why the Darnetta Klingsell is such a lousy school board president, that Jim Buford is such a lousy addition to the St. Louis Public Schools, is because there is a continuation of this operation of secrecy. There's a continuation of the pitting them against us mentality, and there's a continuation of the St. Louis public school students losing out in every single decision that's been made by this board. The Klingsell slide, even Darnetta Klingsell is referring to the Klingsell slide.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that when we get back. I'm Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The following hour has been sponsored by the committee to elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, treasurer.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCree's School, second grade, room 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching roots. Kuta Kite knows his roots. His mother's name is Pizza, and his father's name is Amaru. Kita has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Eastbound 270 at 159. Only the right lane is getting by due to a westbound accident or short backup. Westbound 270 at 159 is closed due to an accident and traffic jams all the way back through 5570. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Morrison and McKnight, there's an accident in the right shoulder and it backs up through Ballas. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way to Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from 270 to Virginia, no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler to the Merrimack River Bridge, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44, it is stop and go. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79, look for bumper-to-bumper traffic as well. Westbound 70 at the depressed section, look for traffic to be heavier than normal. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into West Florissant, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB, it is stop and go as well. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, those approaches are slow at this hour. Westbound 64 at 25th and 5570, look for bumper-to-bumper traffic there as well. Martin Luther King Bridge westbound at the Missouri Bank, the right lane's closed due to casino work and traffic backs up through 5570. Route 100 at Hogan near Gray Summit, look for an accident. Restrictions are in both directions. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps. Call today for a free 2006 salary guide and find out the latest salary ranges for the accounting and finance profession. Account Temps. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Showers and thunderstorms possible today with a high around 60 this evening. Showers and thunderstorms with a low around 55. Thursday, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Locally, heavy rain is possible with a high in the lower 60s. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers, low in the lower 40s. And Friday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees and drizzle. Lambert Field is reporting light rain and 46. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs that's up following these commercials. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
What is a community? It's friends, neighbors, co-workers, the people we work with, the people we share our world with. Sodexo is a community. It's a community of more than 100,000 employees and the 6 million people we serve every day. Sodexo is a community of people committed to improving the quality of daily life in St. Louis. It's why we partner with local minority-owned businesses, support the Gateway Classic with $50,000 in scholarships, and provide grants to the Martin Luther King Jr. Essay Contest and YMCA tutorial programs. It's why we collected nearly a quarter of a ton of food for the Kirksville Food Bank and support programs like Habitat for Humanity. Sodexo is part of your community, providing services across America and right here in St. Louis. Get to know us at SodexoUSA.com.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now, so I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, state representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This hour is sponsored by the Committee to Elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, Treasurer.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from McLean School, Jackie Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Reign supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, we've been talking about the administration of Craig, $25,000 a month, never been a superintendent anywhere in the world, Williams. and also Darnetta Klingsdale Shamo, who has been the board chair for how many years now?
Almost three.
Almost 3 years. And if you could, before we get to our next issue, I just want to give us a couple of numbers of this, of the that are part of the Klingsdale slide, how far the district has gone down since Darnetta Klingsdale has been in charge and since Jim Buford has been a cheerleader for this district.
Sure. When Darnetta Klingsdale became president, the district had 64 of the 66 points it needed for full accreditation.
2 points away.
2 points away. So after 1 year, the district lost 16 of those points.
Mm.
This is from the state. The state decides how many points. After 2 years, they lost another 9, so they've lost 25
since
points.
Just in 3 short years.
Well, in 2 years.
Two years.
You know, we haven't finished 3 yet, so they haven't, the state hasn't ruled on this year yet.
Oh, Jesus.
But in the 2 years she completed, the district lost 25 points. And all on things that happened during those 2 years.
And, of course, Jim Buford is supportive of this district and has been through this entire process and is supportive of the things that have happened so far.
Yeah, during that period, Jim Buford was on the Desegregation Monitoring Committee, and which gave a pass to things like you know, cutting preschool and other violations of the desegregation agreement.
And I asked you to do that because I'm trying to make a connection between this latest decision being made by the school board, the $75,000 position. Let's talk about that.
Yes, last night the school board voted to hire a woman named Arlene Ackerman, recently lost her job as superintendent in San Francisco. Hired her, as you mentioned, for $75,000 a year, a part-time position.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm not sure how part-time, whether it's a couple days a month or what. But
1 day a month.
Or
once every 3 months.
But part-time position to be an education advisor to Craig Williams.
Now, again, this is a man that hasn't hired additional staff. Parents have to stay on the phone for an hour trying to find out where their babies are at transportation because there's only 5 people working in an office that serves over 16,000 students, correct?
Correct.
All right. So what was the reputation of, what's her name?
Arlene Ackerman.
Arlene Ackerman from San Francisco. Why did she get fired from her job in San Francisco?
She got forced out in San Francisco. There were a lot of reasons that led up to it. Mm-hmm. When you say the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back was for spending school money on herself.
Mm.
You know,
the
board found out that she had a credit card that she was using. And they wanted to see what she was spending the money on. They wanted to see what she was using the credit card for, and she didn't want to turn over the receipts.
Kind of like a Duke Cunningham type of a thing, you know, the congressman that just went to jail for fraud and taking money. She got fired. The straw that broke the back is she didn't want to show them what she was spending her money.
Yeah, she didn't want to show what she's using. Exactly. Didn't want to show the credit card receipts.
And that kind of goes to the whole other straws that added up to the straw that broke the camel's back. Secrecy in the way that she governs. Talk about it.
Absolutely. She was very controversial in San Francisco for her secretive style, for making sudden decisions to close schools, split up schools, move students without any discussion with teachers, with parents, with the community. Just, you know, dropping these bombs. Oh, we're going to close this school. Oh, we're going to split this school up and move this grade over here.
And what's interesting...
It got old after a little while, you'd say.
And what is interesting is that the decision to bring her back here, because she's been here before.
Yes, she has.
It's my understanding that she was bodily taken off of the campus of St. Louis University because she was in charge of the Upward Bound program. And she was taken off campus, removed from her job for the same types of reason, for this management style. I mean, for a Jesuit school to walk you off of a campus for an Upward Bound program, that's a big deal. You must have really been doing some clowning, as the kids say, clowning at the Upward Bounds program. So it's disturbing on many levels that we would be taking in somebody else's trash. I mean, that we would be hiring somebody that other places are throwing away on a regular basis for the same reasons. That's problematic.
And it's not new in this district. Look at Spampinato. Yeah. She got fired from Colorado, and they said, here, come here, come here.
And then she left when she left.
Yeah, she left, less than a year after she got here.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And these are the decisions that are being made by Darnetta Klingstell, Shamo, who's the president of the board, and cheerleaded by the Black Republican, Jim Buford.
Yes.
Let me get to a couple of calls here. Lindsay, you have a
question? Good morning. Listening to that Ackerman sound, sounds like she must be related to Tom Ackerman. She's got some connection. That's the reason why they would hire her. But what I wanted to say again, being a retired educator and a parent whose three children came to the school district, I would like to say the parents need to say, no, you're not going to keep my child after 4 o'clock. Do you realize that they're going to school in the dark, they're getting out in the dark, they are just vulnerable to sexual predators. Besides, after a certain length of time, children are not going to learn anything in school because they're sick and tired of being there.
All right.
They need a change. And the other thing, children don't get outdoors even for recess.
Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We will be back after this break. Stay with us.
The following hour has been sponsored by the committee to elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, treasurer.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dixon. Call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Kaylin Dixon for Room 209. Where Dixon ranks supreme. Love you.
Love you.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Lima. The government of Peru says it's going to sue Yale University over the return of thousands of artifacts that were excavated nearly 100 years ago. Peru says they were loaned out to Yale for a one-year period back in 1916, but the university never bothered to return them. The artifacts number close to 5,000 pieces and include ceramics, cloths, and metalworks. University officials say the artifacts were legally excavated and exported, and they've offered to buy some of the pieces and return many others, but Peru officials have rejected their offer. The artifacts were found in the Andes Mountains under a thick forest back in 1911 and are part of what is known as the Lost City of the Incas. And Dateline Paris. The main French television channel has decided to appoint a black journalist as a substitute news anchor for the most watched news broadcast in the country. 32-year-old Harry Roselmack will be the first non-white person to anchor a primetime mainstream news program on the French channel TF1. This only came about because of continuing pressure from French President Jacques Chirac, which was an outgrowth of rioting by multiracial gangs of young people last November. French television had drawn extensive criticism for not telling the entire story about the diverse French society. Having the main news channels as basically an all-white club helped to reinforce the sense of alienation felt by young people in poor suburbs. Roselmack has impeccable journalism credentials and just also happens to be extremely good-looking on TV. The evening news on French Channel 1 is said to be the most watched news program in all of Europe. This is your wake-up call global news update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to go but your hometown Sears? Why? Because your hometown Sears is having a celebration day. That's right. Sears right here in the city of St. Louis. Full service Sears hometown celebration day. When? Monday, March 13th. We're talking about 10% off of regular and 10% off of sale prices. Also, wonderful financing for appliances. 0% APR finances until January 7th on tractors and mowers over $249. There's a hometown celebration going on. Where else would you be besides your hometown Sears at 3425 Union at Jerome Williams? Get your shop on.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This National Forum for Black Public Administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
The Folk School of St. Louis is presenting a student showcase on Thursday, March 16th at 7 p.m. Student classes, teachers, and guest musicians present an evening of old-time bluegrass and blues music at the Schlafly St. Louis Brewery Tap Room. Admission is $5. For more information, call 314-241-2337. Something musical for you from WGNU. How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
The following hour has been paid for by the committee to elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, treasurer.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school. Second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful necklace, African necklace that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eye, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. And let me get to a caller that wants some comments on Ms. Ackerman. Janet.
Hi, how are you, Liz?
Yes.
Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. This is a reference to Arlene Ackerman. And her name brings trembles to my body. Arlene Ackerman came to University City, stayed there, and she was principal at Brittany Middle School for 1 year, and she virtually destroyed the school. The year before she came, around May, she came and she visited. She had teachers move to other schools and so forth because she had a plan that she knew that certain strong people would not deal with. So that year, 13 people left Brittany Woods School in the University City School District. We got phone calls from the Post, won exit interviews, but realistically at that time everybody was too young to say what they needed to say because they were afraid they would not get another job. Now my question is this. How does an individual who got fired from St. Louis University, who was asked to leave Brittany Woods School after the first year, who had problems in Seattle and now San Francisco, how do you get back around to still getting hired again?
No, only in St. Louis. Only in St. Louis with a board president like Darnetta Klingstell and board members like Jim Buford. They go get the trash and bring it in and says it's good enough for us.
Liz, let me tell you something. When we met her the first day that she just came to see us, we left there because we felt the presence of evil. She's cunning. She's manipulative. She will, I thought, now let me say this, and I've been listening to you since you've been on the radio, since you used to come on at 10 in the morning, and I've always helped. I don't even work for St. Louis City Schools. I'm in another district. But with Roberti, I came to the meetings that you had at the Gateway Center and all that kind of stuff because I support children. But I thought, well, maybe Craig Williams, come on, he might be all right, you know.
And when I was right, when I was
this morning, and I'm telling you,
okay.
I'm ready to turn my car back around and go home and go to bed because they have someone who's there for her own selfish reasons and nobody else's.
Thanks for your call. And I was right about Craig Williams, wasn't I?
Yes, you were.
All right now. All right now. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. So this is consistent with the decisions that are being made. And there are rumors out there, too, Peter, about Craig Williams, too, aren't there?
Yes, there are. You go up and down across this school district,
mm-hmm.
and people are convinced that Craig Williams is leaving this summer.
Mm-hmm.
You hear again and again that he's building himself a luxury mansion in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and that it looks like he's going to be gone this summer, and that things are just being lined up for Arlene Ackerman to slip in.
And the other piece of that is that, according to a San Francisco newspaper, her departure, if she stays until June, she'll get around a $375,000 severance package of some sort. And it says, you and I were talking about this off the air. Why, if you have that much, if you're dealing with that kind of money, good Lord, why are you stealing stuff off your credit card and not showing the credit card receipts to the district? Why are you giving the appearance that you're stealing anything?
That's right. Why? He's like, what are you doing with the credit card that you don't want to show? You got $375,000 coming in?
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. But it's consistent with the decision-making because why would you not bring in somebody that even it sounds like this person is more secretive, more cunning, more experienced at doing things like this than anybody that the board has hired so far. This sounds worse than Roberti.
Yeah. I don't know. I knew she had ties to St. Louis. She was originally from St. Louis. I did know, that there were people like our caller who had experiences with her in education. If there are many more of those, then we need to hear them.
And I think that we just really need to tie this is the decision-making that's being made by Craig Williams, who's getting paid more than President Clinton got paid when he was president, $300,000 a year, $25,000 a month. These are the decisions that people like Jim Buford are saying, that we need to let Craig Williams run the school district. Well, these are the types of decisions that he makes, bringing in people like Janet Ackerman that have destroyed other districts or destroyed other schools.
Right. And the whole issue, I'm just struck again on that credit card issue, because if you're going to let the superintendent do whatever he or she wants, then you're going to end up with that kind of situation again.
And she would have never gotten fired from our district because our district would have taken the position, we're not even going to ask her what she does with
that's
card.
Right.
I mean, at least she came from a district that had board members that said, I want to know what the superintendent is doing with the credit card. because this board, this Darnetta Klingstell, Ron Archibald, Ron Jackson, Bob Archibald, and Jim Buford Slay would never have asked and would have told the public, you have no right to know.
Yeah. They say, oh, we got to support the superintendent.
We got to support. We're cheerleaders. We're not board members.
That's right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. One quick question, comment?
Yes, I had a question. I was wondering, I've been listening to your show for a long time, and the experience has been that you have had superintendents on your show to talk to them about issues with the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, had you had the opportunity to have Dr. Craig Williams to come on the show to share.
I've had numerous requests out to him.
You have.
Answer is no.
The answer is no. Okay, so his answer had been no
mm-hmm.
in regards
well,
to...
Well, it's no by virtue of silence.
All by virtue of silence, okay. And no one, he could not send anyone...
I'm not interested in talking to anyone but the superintendent.
Oh, okay, you wanted to only talk to the superintendent. Okay. Okay, because, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I do things within the school district. I see some positive changes along with some, you know, I hear some of the negative things.
And I've got a role, and Peter, I want to thank you, and we will be back same time, same place next week.
See you next week.
All right.
The following hour has been paid for by the committee to elect Peter Downs, Kathy Steyer, treasurer.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Air Force One is on its way to New Orleans. First stop on President Bush's latest tour of the Gulf Coast after Katrina. ABC's Ann Compton's traveling with him.
6 months ago on that August weekend, President Bush was here on his Texas ranch as Hurricane Katrina bore down on the Gulf Coast. Now he says he is focused on rebuilding.
Get a little rest here in my homestead and head over to New Orleans tomorrow in Mississippi.
His hometown crowd was glad to see him, but governors of four damaged states hope he is bringing more federal money. Ann Compton, ABC News, Waco, Texas.
When the president returns to Washington, one of the first things he'll do is sign a bill to renew the Patriot Act. The House passed it last night by just 2 votes. The Senate's already approved it. This may not help the White House as it looks for more support for a plan to give an Arabone company control of some major U.S. ports. ABC News has obtained a Department of Homeland Security report that shows truckers who take cargo into and out of the ports of New Jersey and New York are given ID cards that allow them access to all areas of the facility. Now, many of those passes are issued to people with criminal backgrounds. Bad news, says the Council on Foreign Relations, Stephen Flynn.
If a bomb went off in the seaport, we would likely see a closing of the seaports, bringing the global trade system to a halt, and potentially putting our economy into a recession.
More Republicans, meanwhile, are saying that they oppose the deal. Iran is putting the U.S. on notice. Just try and stop the nation's nuclear program and don't even think about going to the United Nations to try and do so.
The United States may have the power to cause harm and pain, but it's also susceptible to harm and pain. So if the United States wishes to choose that path, let the bomb roll.
Javad Vahidi, Iran's delegation to the International Atomic Energy Agency member. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services Number, NASD and SIPC.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
The death of Dana Reeve is a stark reminder that lung cancer is the number one killer of women. ABC News medical editor Dr. Tim Johnson says the real problem, though, is that science doesn't know much about the disease at all.
Unfortunately, our screening tools are not very good, and by the time the symptoms show up, like a chronic cough, it's often too late.
The widow of actor Christopher Reeve was 44. A major cause of lung cancer is cigarettes, and now the tax man's going after some smokers in one state.
It was a bad day for New York smokers. Virginia-based eSmokes agreed to spill the beans on smokers from New York City who bought cigarettes on the Internet without paying local sales taxes. New York State banned the Internet sales of cigarettes in 2003, and New York's mayor says eSmokes will rat out some 12,000 customers, giving the city the names and addresses of its New York customers from 2000 to 2003. A federal law known as the Jenkins Act requires the disclosure. New York City says it will want back taxes to the tune of $3 a pack. Gil Fox, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's time for a report of WGNU News. This update is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, St. Louis Alderman Terry Kennedy is trying to reach a compromise with Mayor Francis Slay on the creation of a civilian police review board. Kennedy has changed his bill so that the 7-member board would be appointed through a selection process by the mayor and the Board of Aldermen. Kennedy says the changes are designed to address the ideas and concerns raised by Slay.
We're trying to build a consensus piece of legislation. I recognize that trying to go forward with the elections was not working, and so I have always been open to other ideas from other all the people. So we try to create or recreate the bill in such a way that it would reflect as many concerns as possible.
The bill originally called for electing 4 members of the board and appointing 3 of them. Slay is concerned that even if the bill passes, it will not get the approval of the Board of Police Commissioners because it's inconsistent with the board order, which was passed 2 years ago. In other news, the construction of a new building for a local civic organization is underway. A groundbreaking ceremony was held yesterday at the site of the new headquarters for the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis. Richard Atkins, the building commissioner chairman for the 100 Black Men organization, says the new building will benefit the services they provide.
This project is going to be a little over 5,000 square foot building, total project cost of over $850,000. But the most important thing is that it's going to allow us to do more for more in terms of support of our Four for the Future national agenda.
The 100 Black Men organization provides services such as computer skills seminars, economic development workshops, job training, and health and wellness services. The new building on Del Mar is expected to be completed in October. And finally, Dr. Richard Cole, the Lindbergh Professor and Chairman of the Department of Otolaryngology at Washington University School of Medicine, says life-saving cures don't have to involve destroying human life. Cole testified yesterday at a congressional hearing that explored claims and potential exploitation issues surrounding human cloning and embryonic stem cell research.
It's really well established, and you pick up most any medical textbook of embryology, and the authors generally state life begins at the point of fertilization of the egg. At that point, there's a zygote form. The zygote is the very earliest embryonic form, and it is a human life. It's a unique human being, and it's a human being in the embryonic stage.
The Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures says therapies such as somatic cell nuclear transfer show promise in treating conditions like diabetes and Parkinson's disease and could save Missouri millions of dollars a year. Cole is a member of the Board of Directors of Missourians Against Human Cloning, which is working to defeat the coalition's stem cell research petition. That's WGNU News, brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local REMAX office. Eastbound 270 at 159. Only the right lane is getting by due to a westbound accident. There is a short backup. Westbound 270 at 159 is closed due to an accident, and traffic is being diverted onto Route 159 at this hour. Traffic jams at 5570.
Northbound 55 at 7th Street, look for a stall blocking the center lane. Traffic jams at the brewery. Southbound 55 at the brewery, look for an accident. Two right lanes are closed. There's a brief slowdown. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Mason Road, it is slow. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, look for slow traffic on those approaches to 270. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Hanley, it is stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from McKelvey to St. Charles Rock Road, it is a slow go this morning. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and Clayton Warson, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 111 onto the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto to the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow as well. Westbound 64 from Kings Highway, Route 111 over on the east side all the way into 5570 split. Look for slow traffic there. Martin Luther King Bridge is closed. The right lane on westbound on the Missouri side due to casino construction work and traffic still jamming around the 5570 mark. Jefferson onto the ramp to westbound 40. There's an accident that's been cleared, but there may be some brief delays. Hampton at Wells, there's an accident reported in Forest Park. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by RE/MAX. Are you heading home to a rental or to your very own home? RE/MAX Heading Home will help you realize your dream of owning a home sooner than you think. To learn more, visit RE/MAXHeadingHome.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Showers and thunderstorms today, high around 60 this evening. Showers and thunderstorms, low around 55. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms, locally heavy rainfall is possible with a high in the lower 60s Thursday evening. Mostly cloudy, colder, chance of showers with a low in the lower 40s. And on Friday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies and drizzle and 46 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds, some light rain, and 47. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
You are listening to AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. Our power. Please do not ask us for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. WGNU, huh? Ha 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 ha. George Orwell said in his novel 1984, over 20 years ago, he said three things that I think that are so telling about where we are as a nation. Three things that should send chills down your collective spines. Now, some people say that George Orwell never intended his book to be a prediction of the future. I don't know. Some people say that it was a satire of political fiction. I, for one, believe that George Orwell was talking about the possibilities of a new world order. He was talking about a total domination of us. And these three phrases really should make it clear that I think he was telling us, if it wasn't a prediction, if he didn't believe this was going to happen, he certainly conceived of its possibilities and its ramifications. This is what George Orwell said. War is peace. This is what Big Brother will ask you to believe. This is what your government, a government that is bent on total domination, a government that is bent on a new world order, a government that is unconcerned about you, in order to get to a place of controlling everything about you, they have to get you to believe certain things. Much like an abusive spouse gets the other spouse to believe that they're not worth anything, that nobody would want them, that they're an awful wife, they're an awful mother. An abusive person, in order to continue in their abuse, they have to make certain that the person that they are abusing no longer recognizes up from down, questions everything that they see and in terms of their own sanity, and you get them to believe up is down and down is up and right is left and left is right and white is black and black is white, then you can control them. And George Orwell said, this is what your government will make you believe, that war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Just think about where we are right now. George Orwell said that your government will make you believe. When they get you to where you want to, you will believe that ignorance is strength, freedom is slavery, and war is peace. You want the proof of that, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? boys and girls, you want the proof? You want the evidence of that? Let me take you back to the year 2000. Because y'all have been being teed up for a good number of years. Y'all were being teed up to this place of believing ignorance is strength, freedom is slavery, and war is indeed peace. Let me go back to 2000 when Boy George was running to be president of the United States. He's a failed student, former cheerleader, failed businessman, mediocre governor of a mediocre state in terms of how it is governed. There's not much for a governor to do in Texas compared to other states. They also a former a junkie, mediocre man. And I actually heard people coming out their mouth, saying, well, you don't have to be intelligent to be the president of the United States. What the? I heard grown people that were twice as old as me saying this. I heard people 10 years older than me saying it. I heard people that were my age saying it. Well, you don't have to be intelligent to be president. Now, let me get back to George Orwell, huh? Ignorance is strength. That the people will come to believe that not knowing anything is powerful. Think about what the places that people contorted themselves, the Barnum and Bailey-ness that they engaged in. To get to a place to say that the person running, the strongest nation in the world, doesn't have to be smart. In fact, it's good that he doesn't know anything. Because he'll be better able to address the issues because he doesn't come with the baggage of intellect. He doesn't have that kind of weight. he's not weighed down with intellect. Whoo! And people bought that. People still buy that. That ignorance is strength. Sweetheart, no, it's not. Ignorance is the definition of weakness. If you don't know, you can't go. No, ignorance is not bliss. I don't want anybody who has their finger on the button to decide a nuclear war to be ignorant and proudly so. And proudly so. Defiantly so. Yeah, I'm stupid. I don't know anything. Now what? I'm still going to push this button. Lord, we don't know. But George Orwell said that the thump, thump, thump of the boot of Big Brother starts with convincing the masses that ignorance is bliss. And they got it going on with George W. Bush to get people to buy into, to accept the presidency of a George Bush. And there's more. And there's more. George Orwell also said that when the masses are convinced that war is peace, then there will be a new world order. And we had a caller this morning that typified that, that underscored that, that gave proof to that argument. that war is peace, that we're in Iraq because we are bringing them peace. That the thousands of boys and girls of ours that have died, that the tens of thousands of boys and girls of ours that have been injured, that the millions of family members and loved ones and friends whose lives are forever negatively impacted by this wicked war, that all of that injury, all of that pain, all of that death, when you add it all up together, in the Orwellian world that we live in right now, far too many Americans think that the addition of the deaths and the destructions and the injuries and the pain of the American citizens that have participated in this occupation of Iraq, that the addition of all of their pain and suffering equals peace. Oh, baby. There has been a new world order. That ain't peace. They ain't never been peace. As the guest from yesterday, Gandhi's son, we had Gandhi's grandson on the show yesterday. He gave the definition of peace, and it didn't involve body bags. These are amazing times. And the third tenet of George Orwell's 1984 assessment of, if it's not a prediction, it's the mathematical formula for a new world order. He said, freedom is slavery. When you can convince the masses to believe that freedom is slavery, then, oh, Katie, bar the door, it's all done. It's done. Turn the lights out. We got this. We got this. Freedom is slavery. We now have members of Congress, Republican largely, but some Democrats that are sitting still, which is the same as, from my perspective, it's the same as actively participating, sitting still during their, when you sit still during a rape of someone, you're just as guilty, if not more so. But we have members of Congress that are not going to push any further into an inquiry of why George W. Bush, why Boy George is spying on Americans. Because we, in the hunt for terrorists, we need to give up our civil liberties. Freedom, after all, can be slavery if we don't let them spy on us. The terrorists will win. We don't need freedom. That would be, no, freedom is slavery. We gotta let our government do what they want, when they want, how they want, and to whom they want. George Orwell said, or it is said, that George Orwell was not predicting the future. He was simply predicting what would happen if we are inattentive and non-participatory. These are dangerous times that we're living in. These are extraordinary dangerous times that we're living in. From our school boards, local, it doesn't get any more local than that, to our state reps, to our state senators, to our congressmen and women, to our United States senators, to the dudes sitting in the White House. These are dangerous times. When too many of the American people have been convinced that war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Whether they know it or not, whether they can articulate it or not, this is what they believe. And we have a nation at peril as a result of that kind of that willingness to stand by and believe it. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back to take your calls and comments at 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 270 at 159. Only the right lane is getting by due to a westbound accident. There's a short backup. Westbound 270 at 159 is closed due to an accident, and traffic is being diverted onto 159. Traffic jams approaching the 5570 split. Southbound 55 at the brewery, that accident has been cleared. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, look for traffic easing. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Earth City Expressway, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Hanley, look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 only in the West Florissant, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between 170 and Clayton Worson is heavy due to an earlier stall. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 111 to the PSB, it is stop and go. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge is easing. And westbound 64 at Illinois 111 and the 5570 split is slow. Martin Luther King Bridge traffic on the Missouri side, the right lane is closed due to construction work on the casino. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase four tires from any of your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealers and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, showers and thunderstorms are possible with a high around 60. This evening, showers and thunderstorms, low around 55. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms, locally a heavy rainfall is possible, high in the lower 60s. Thursday evening, colder, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the lower 40s. And on Friday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees and drizzle. Lambert Field is reporting clouds, fog, and light rain with 46 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now. So I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District, Felicia Brooks Treasurer.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that. Emailing me, revolution@lizbrown.com. We are archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's right. If you miss an hour, go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Get up. Get to me. Yesterday, I told you about, I reported to you about the fact that Mr. Bolton, you know, the one that couldn't get confirmed to serve as our chief diplomat, the highest diplomatic post in the United States, UN, serve on the UN as our diplomat. He was saying that, Iran needs to do what we want them to do, or there will be a military strike. Those are the diplomatic words that came out his mouth. I guess there's a reason why he felt comfortable in saying that. Dick Cheney said, because and he spoke to a group. We never get to hear Dick Cheney speaking to us. He never takes questions from the press. He doesn't speak to the American people. He goes around and speaks to friendly groups, friendly to him. And Cheney speaking to the pro-Israel lobbying group, the AIPAC, AIPAC. Said, and I quote, Iran will not be allowed to have nuclear weapons and faces, quote unquote, meaningful consequences if it persists in defying the international community. Now, I want to, may I take a moment here, just a minute here to do a little compare and contrast here, because while those are threatening words, no doubt. While those are hugely threatening words made to an extraordinarily partisan group, we need to examine those words in the context of George W. Bush's road trip last week. Because usually when presidents go shuffle off to other countries, they go to do things like negotiate treaties that enhance American security. They'd go to shore up shaky alliances, you know, folks that are, you know, relationships that are deteriorating. They go there to add presidential leadership and shore up those relationships. They go to just, you know what, I'm just doing this for goodwill. I'm just going as president to goodwill. Well, George W. Bush didn't do any of those things when he took his excellent adventure to India and Pakistan. The New York Times has reported that this road trip was, and I love this language, spectacularly misconceived. Wow. Spectacularly misconceived trip. And they said it inflicted serious damage to American goals in two vital areas, mobilizing international diplomacy against the spread of nuclear weapons and encouraging Pakistan to take a more effective action against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters operating from its territories. So now dig this. George W. Bush made a nuclear deal. And because, you know, this is why you don't have the dumbest kid in the class running anything. The nuclear deal that Bush concluded with India probably is going to blast a nuclear-sized hole through the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Huh. But he didn't stop there. He went on to Pakistan. George Bush is trying to persuade the Pakistani military dictator to defy nationalist and Islamic objections and move more aggressively against Pakistani-based terrorists. Now, remember, boys and girls, that Osama bin Laden and Mullah Muhammad Omar now operate from Pakistani soil. So in other words, George W. Bush is telling the Pakistani general who runs Pakistan, he needs that now this man has to explain to the Pakistanians why his friend an ally, George Bush, has given favorable nuclear terms to India while withholding them from Pakistan. Huh? George W. Bush went and created a deal that gave nuclear arms or allows India to pursue nuclear stuff. And then he went to Pakistan, who hates India. India hates Pakistan. And he's telling Pakistan, y'all need to go get those terrorists off your soil. And no, we're not going to give you any nukes, but we gave India nukes. That's why the dumbest kid in the classroom should not be running anything. That's why the dumbest kid in the class should not be running anything. Ooh, it's baffling. It is baffling. Earl.
Yeah, how are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Oh, great. When the president went to Afghanistan to meet with Musharraf, I saw him when he was speaking to the public, he mentioned terrorists. But did he mention Bin Laden?
Huh?
Did he mention Bin Laden anytime?
I don't remember him using that word.
I know, but I know he was telling them about if we want to get rid of the terrorists. But I was just curious that he mentioned his name specifically.
I don't recall him doing so.
Okay, thanks.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Now, help me. I've given you three little factoids here. Cheney is telling and a pro-Israel group, Iran will face meaningful consequences if it persists in defying the international community on the issue of nuclear arms. Okay? So, what? So, the fact of the matter is he's doing that at the same time that he's giving nuclear arms to, giving the nuclear go-ahead to India, again, and defying the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, and at the same time telling Pakistan to go get some folks while you've given the nuclear go-ahead to my arch rival. Explain to me how all of this is going to work. Explain to me how all this is going to work. That's the foreign policy action of the dumbest kid in the class. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz, I have a couple of questions about the Patriot Act, a.k.a. the Terrorist Act, against the American people. Now, I heard reports that the Patriot Act had been extended, and in this extension, it was said that some loose ends were tied up concerning what the law enforcement could do to the American people and get away with it. And I would like to know, does anyone know the answer to that? And my next question is that will we ever find out what citizens that W was spying on? And will we ever know the names of these people? Were they politicians or businessmen or just ordinary citizens? I'd like to know, will we ever know the people that were spied upon?
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're taking a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Update. Dateline Washington. The federal government has come up with a somewhat sneaky way to enlist the poor and people of color into the war on terror. The Department of Homeland Security has made available over $60 million to colleges and universities to develop anti-terrorism programs. Community colleges have become the most popular choice for low-income people. But community colleges are struggling for federal dollars now because the federal government has changed legislation that allows for-profit schools to compete with non-profit community colleges for federal money that used to be earmarked exclusively for institutions that served high numbers of low-income students and underrepresented portions of the population. So what has happened is that community colleges have repackaged their courses as training facilities for first responders on the war on terror. This is why you've started seeing more ads for schools offering courses on law enforcement, health professionals, and emergency workers. By doing this, the institutions put themselves in a position to get favorable consideration for the millions of dollars from Homeland Security, as well as for student loan and grant money from the federal government. One provision offers students stipends of as much as $1,000 a month to take such first responder courses. But if a student takes that type of scholarship, he or she has to sign an agreement that indicates a willingness to take a position with Homeland Security after graduation. But another problem with this scenario is that if a student sticks with only this area of study, what happens if he or she can't locate a job in that particular field? Without taking courses for greater career flexibility, the options for employment become extremely limited. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
You
don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Now that's right. What a perfect time and what a perfect place for a hometown celebration day. Monday, March 13th, hometown celebration day at your hometown Sears, right here where you live. 3425 Union, that's right. 10% off of regular and sale prices. 0% APR financing until January 07 for any tractor or lawnmower over $249. Great deals, great day, a hometown celebration day. Monday, March 13th only. Get on down to your hometown Sears at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams will treat you like a king or a queen. I'm Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
This message is only for business owners and managers. How would you like to be able to increase your sales anytime you want it? Need to do a new advertising campaign, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? You want to make improvements to your store, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? You want to take that needed vacation, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? What you need is ITEX, I-T-E-X, the International Trade Exchange. With ITEX, you'll get new customers who will go out of their way to do business with you. The ITEX network works like a nationwide sales force to increase your sales and reduce cash expenses to improve your bottom line profits. So join the other smart business owners right here in St. Louis who have already found out how to increase their business and improve not only their bottom line but also their quality of life. Contact Herb Steck at your local ITEX office to see how much new business you can get and how much cash you can save. Call 636-441-8930. Remember that number, 636-441-8930. With ITEX, you and your business can trade for a better life.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU wake-up call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hey, Liz, how are you today?
I'm outstanding.
Life is good, as I always like to say. Mr. Craig Williams, he appeared on other so-called black radio stations, and the questions are soft as medicated cotton, Liz. And the questions from the callers, this guy duck and dodge him. He spent most of the time on those shows laughing than he do taking and answering questions.
Clowning.
Yeah, and the folks, you know, they let him get on there, and this one particular morning show that's on the FM channel, they get him on there to buffoon and just joke. And these are serious matters with the public school system. A lot of folks are very angry.
Well, no, it's not only that there's anger, because I don't even want to focus on the anger component of it. The fact of the matter is that this is a serious job.
Yeah.
And so the laughter and the joking shows the utter contempt that this individual, this $25,000 a month individual, has for our children and for this district. It's a joking matter to him because he doesn't give a rat's patoot.
And have you heard these commercials that Sodexo is running on the so-called black radio stations?
It's just, it's laughable.
It makes me want to just throw
it's
up.
Laughable. It's
horrible. And Liz, I love your website. I have a link on my website telling everybody to check your wonderful website.
Have you got your t-shirt yet? Have you gone to the corner store and got your George Bush Don't Care About Black Folks t-shirt?
I haven't got it yet, but I will get it. I'm right on to Brother Kanye, and I just hope Kanye don't step down from the statements he made and stand like a man.
He's had every opportunity to step down, and every opportunity he's been confronted with, he said, I don't regret it. I said it. I meant it. I stand by it.
See, I share the same last name with that brother, and I salute him all the way. Liz, we love you. Keep doing what you're doing at LizBrown.com.
All right, now.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And again, if you want to email me, do that at revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. I just have to say this because we do have the election coming up. We do have the election coming up here in the city of St. Louis for the school board, and that's happening in April. We have a number of school board issues that are coming up. But the one that is of grave importance is the one in the St. Louis Public Schools. And I want to take these last few minutes here to underscore, if I can, the significance and the importance of this. And somebody said something the other day about how it seems like when national things get to the city of St. Louis, they seem like they just die or wither on the vine, or they metamorphize into something totally different than what it's supposed to be. And to some extent I agree with I'm not from St. Louis, so I am mystified about what causes this to happen. But things happen in the city of St. Louis that don't seem to happen any other place in the nation or in the world. We have school board members Darnetta Klingsdale Schemel and Jim Buford Slay. And remember, Jim Buford is a black Republican who supports vouchers, who supports charter schools, who has advocated for vouchers and advocated for charter schools. He's an advocate for taking money from the public schools and putting it into the hands of private people, either through vouchers or through charter schools. He supports those things, and he's running for the school board. And we have a school board who has a plan that is in print, a plan that is on paper, a plan that money has been spent to develop, a plan that they are keeping from us until after the election, hoping that they win this election, a plan that will put the final nail into the coffin that is the St. Louis Public School, that is the remains of the St. Louis Public Schools. And that is a charter school district. They have the plans. They've picked out the schools. They have the teachers. They have everything for it. Except they can't vote on it before this election. They can't bring it up before this election. And they're waiting for the election to get the school board members that they need to put this plan in place. What would this plan do? What would this do? It would create a school board district that we don't elect, a school board that we don't elect, that we have no say in, but they would get all of our money. It would suck the lifeblood out of what remains of the St. Louis public schools, put it into a charter system where they could have rules to keep every child in the city of St. Louis except a handful out of the school district. The teachers don't have to be accredited. They could pay the teachers whatever they want to pay the teachers. They could hire anybody that they want to, and we couldn't see who they hired. We couldn't see how much they pay for them. It would no longer, it's taking public money and turning it into private money. It's taking your tax money and turning it into private money that you have no say over it. That's the plan of the man who's never been a superintendent before anywhere in the world, Craig Williams. That's why he's laughing all the time. That's why he giggles all the time. That's why he thinks it's fun to just go and clown and buffoon, because he doesn't care. He has no connection to the evil that he is hit, that because they aren't his kids. He don't live here for real. He ain't from here for real. And he don't care what happens here. All he wants is his paycheck. It's happy, 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 joy, joy, happy, happy time. And that's why Jim Buford is his cheerleader. Because he doesn't care about the kids either. Listen to what Jim Buford says. The only thing he says is that we got to keep Craig Williams in town. Jim Buford is such a cheerleader that he sees Craig Williams as the Messiah. How twisted is that? They have such a twisted, warped relationship that he sees he's some kind of God to Jim Buford. And Jim Buford don't even know him. How could he? Oh, it's a strange and twisted relationship between Jim Buford and Craig Williams. Listen to what Jim Buford says. He will save our district. We can't do anything without Craig. That's weird and twisted. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop listening.
Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. There's been a major breakthrough in the case of the Alabama church fires. Two suspects are now under arrest. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Arsonists burned nearly a dozen churches in rural Alabama in early February. And now ABC News has learned two suspects are in custody. The arrests are somehow tied to an SUV seen leaving the scene of one of the fires. Authorities are expected to hold a news conference in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a bit later today to discuss the arrests of two people in connection with these church fires. Daria.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. President Bush in New Orleans, first stop on a swing through the Gulf Coast 6 months after Hurricane Katrina. And he can count on hearing the same thing from just about everyone there. More money, please.
Louisiana's wish list includes another $1.5 billion to rebuild the levees around New Orleans, essential to convince evacuees it is safe enough to return. Meanwhile, Mississippi is asking for billions to rebuild the port of Gulfport, relocate rail lines, and reconstruct hundreds of homes.
ABC's Jeff Morelli in Washington. A surprising finding on a Department of Homeland Security report that was obtained by ABC News. Truckers who take cargo into and out of the ports of New York and New Jersey are giving all access ID cards. And it turns out some of the truckers have criminal backgrounds. Well, this driver says he's not surprised.
It's a little amazing. I didn't realize there was that many quote-unquote criminals pulling the ports trailers, but I think a lot of it is because all the reports about how they're so short on drivers, and I think that's why so many of them are slipping through the cracks.
More Republicans, meanwhile, say they are opposed to a plan that would give a Dubai-owned company control of a number of major U.S. ports. Some tough talk between Washington and Tehran over Iran's nuclear program. Iran says the U.S. is susceptible to harm and pain. The U.S. says Iran's still not coming clean about its nuclear ambitions. The Dow is down 5 points, NASDAQ off by three. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
They are all the way from Liverpool.
thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card. She filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
She's won an Emmy as one of ABC TV's Desperate Housewives, but the role Terry Hatcher may be most proud of, putting a relative who sexually abused her as a teenager behind bars. Hatcher talks about it in the current issue of Vanity Fair magazine.
3.5 years ago, Hatcher learned her uncle was accused of molesting his Sunnyvale, California neighbor, a 14-year-old named Sarah Van Cleanput, who was driven to such despair she stole her father's handgun and shot herself in the head. Still, prosecutors had a problem.
We had an admission by the defendant. That admission by itself, without some type of independent evidence of a crime, would not have been admissible.
The case was about to be dropped until Hatcher made the difficult decision to contact the authorities and share her secret.
ABC's Nancy Weiner. Friends, family, and fans of Kirby Puckett gathered at the Chicago area housing project where the baseball great grew up. The Hall of Fame outfielder died of a stroke earlier this week. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Time for a report of WGNU News. This update is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news at this hour, keep fighting. That's the message from members of the National Voice of the Retarded People working to keep the state's habilitation centers open. Carol Sherman, a spokesperson for the group, says family members need to do whatever they can to stop the state government from closing down the centers. She says many of the people who live in the centers have no family and will suffer if the centers are closed. Sherman says studies show that if the centers close, the number of preventable deaths will increase and there will be more abuse and neglect as well. In other news, the death of Dana Reeve is raising more awareness about lung cancer. Dr. Alec Patterson, the chief of cardiothoracic surgery at Washington University School of Medicine, says it's not uncommon for non-smokers, like the widow of actor Christopher Reeve, to get lung cancer. But Patterson says those who are considered at high risk, such as smokers, are the ones who are usually screened for the disease. The Lung Cancer Alliance reports that 60% of those diagnosed with lung cancer either never smoked or quit decades ago. In other news, some forms of stem cell research have the potential to exploit women. That's according to Dr. Richard Cole, the chairman of the Department of Otolaryngology at Washington University School of Medicine. Cole testified yesterday at a congressional hearing, saying some women have been coerced to donate eggs for research, and the donation process can pose health risks. Cole is a member of the board of directors of Missourians Against Human Cloning, which is working to defeat a stem cell research petition that could appear on Missouri's November ballot. And finally, the number of women candidates filing to run for a seat in the Missouri legislature is down 50%. That's according to Vivian Eveloff, the director of the Sue Scheer Institute for Women in Public Life at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Eveloff believes the reason women don't run for public office is because they don't see themselves as candidates and are not recruited by their parties and the women already in public office. That's WGNU News, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. With your schedule, you rely on your car a lot, so make sure it gets the maintenance it needs at your local Napa Auto Care Center. Napa, get the good stuff. With WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. Northbound 270 between Big Bend and Doherty Ferry, there's an accident cleared. Traffic jams through 44 at this hour. Westbound 270 at 5570 and Illinois 159, that traffic is easing after an earlier accident. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Expect delays through Sappington. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way to the Blanchett Bridge looks good. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 from McKnight to Hanley, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for that traffic easing. Westbound 5570 from the Exchange onto the PSB to stop and go. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge at the Missouri Bank. Right lane is closed due to casino construction work. Traffic jams approaching 5570. Tesson Ferry at Kennerly, there's a report of an injury accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. A woman's glow is beautiful, and now every woman can enhance her own glow with new Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion with skin brighteners. Visit Dove.com today for your free sample while supplies last. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, showers and thunderstorms, high around 60. This evening, showers and thunderstorms, low around 55. Thursday, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Locally, heavy rain is possible, high in the lower 60s. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, colder, chance of showers, low in the lower 40s. And on Friday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees under overcast skies with drizzle. Lambert Field is reporting light rain and 47 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU or 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Check out the Wake Up Call website at lizbrown.com. Don't forget that we're streamed at wgnu.net and also iPodded at whiterosesociety.org. Also, the show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. It's tax season, and I think it's important that we not only talk about issues that concerning how to pay your taxes, but we also have to, one of the things I like doing on this show is, and one of the things I insist upon doing on this show, is taking a global look at things. It's not just local issues. We have to look at things in a larger sense. And to that end, it's not just about paying your taxes, but it's also about how your taxes are paid and what is going on in your government as it relates to your taxes. And there's some disconcerting things that are coming down the pike from our good government with regard to taxes and how the government collects our taxes. There is a, it should come as no surprise to anyone that's been following some of the decision making that has come out of Washington as of late, that there is an effort to privatize your tax debt. We need to talk about the ramifications of that. We need to talk about the implications of that. We need to talk about the impact of that. And we're going to do that. Join us this morning from Washington, D.C. I have Colleen Kelly, the president of the National Treasury Employees Union. Colleen, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, Liz. Thank you.
Very good. Tax debt privatization. I thought that we'd been there, done that, and the decision had already been made. The answer was no.
Well, we have been there and done that. The IRS tried to do this back in 1996, and the contractors performed so badly, and there were so many reports of taxpayer harassment that the program had to be canceled. But in spite of that, this administration has decided that, once again, they want to privatize the tax collection work of the IRS and put this work in the hands of private collection agencies rather than having it be done by IRS employees.
Now, some people would say, look, it's going to be the people who love privatization would tell you that it's cheaper to get it done like this.
Well, some would say that, but the facts prove otherwise. There have been a number of cost comparisons done, one by the previous IRS commissioner that shows that IRS employees can do this work more cost-effectively for the American government. And just recently, a magazine called Tax Notes that does an awful lot of close tracking of IRS activity did its own report, and it found this. It said that IRS employees can do this work and at a cost of 53 cents for every $100 collected. These private collection agencies are going to be paid by being able to keep up to 25% of what they collect. So these private collection agencies are going to be paid $25 for every $100 collected. So,
and that's $25 that would have gone back into the coffers of the United States government.
That's right, Liz.
So what are some of the other components of the of this bill? They get a bounty?
They do. That's what this up to 25% is a bounty for the taxes that they collect. And, again, IRS employees can do this for 53 cents on the $100.
Here's my concern, Colleen. Are you telling me that all of my private tax information is now going to be in the hands of some private company? What privacy guarantees can be made to me if my stuff is turned over like that?
Well, you're absolutely right. Information will be given to these private collection agencies, social security numbers, home phone numbers, addresses, all your financial information will be given to them so that they can do this work that today the IRS employees do and today taxpayers expect that no one but the IRS would have access to all of that information.
Aren't there regulations to ensure that?
Well, there are bills that have been put in place on taxpayer rights over the years, and it is IRS employees' responsibility to enforce those, and they are accountable for enforcing that, protecting the privacy of taxpayers.
Is such are such rules and regulations going to be moved to these different private companies?
Well, there are statements that have been made that they will have the same accountability, but we have serious questions about that for a lot of reasons, and let me just give you one recent example. Employees brought to my attention that the information they were receiving about taxpayers to do this collection work included, all of a sudden, party affiliation.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. And we found this out, again, from employees who were very concerned that this was a part of any information that would have anything to do with taxes due to the IRS.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me, if I'm understanding you correctly, that because right now some of our stuff is being farmed out to private people, right?
Yes.
These people are being given information of party affiliation as part of the information that they're collecting on people whose taxes, that money that they're going after.
Well, that is happening today in the information given to IRS employees. IRS employees were appalled at this. When they raised it with NTEU, I went to the IRS commissioner and said, I've just become aware of this. We think this is inappropriate. And the IRS responded that they would look into it. They did not seem to be aware that the information was even there. And when they finally did respond, they said that they would be taking steps to remove this information from the files given to IRS employees. So I responded and said, well, you intend to give taxpayer information to private collection agencies. You keep saying the rules will be the same. Please confirm that party affiliation will not ever be given to private collection agencies who are doing any work for the IRS, and I have yet to receive a response.
And what are the ramifications of party affiliation being given to anybody in the IRS? Why should people be concerned about that?
Well, on the one hand, some people would say, well, it's voter registration information, and that standing on its own is a fact. Okay, it's voter registration information. But I think everyone would agree that if you owe taxes to the IRS, what your party affiliation is has absolutely nothing to do with anything and should not even be a fact that is included in information that is given to the IRS to do the work, and surely not to anyone outside of the IRS.
Because I guess the concern would be that, okay, if the Democrats are in charge, then the concern would be that anybody that's a Republican is going to have their taxes pursued in a way that a Democrat wouldn't.
It could present a lot of perception problems, whether fact or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just totally irrelevant. And it was only, in fact, the other thing is, when we raised this with the IRS, I just forgot about this, when I raised this with the IRS commissioner, I also let Congress know. NTU held a press conference, and I made this information public. Senator Murray then became involved, and she contacted the IRS, and it was only after she contacted the IRS that they said they would stop providing this information to employees. But as I said, they still have not responded as to whether or not when they put this work in the hands of private collection agencies. They have still not guaranteed that party affiliation information will not ever be given to private collection agencies.
Do we know whether or not the decision has been finalized that our tax information will be bountied off to private entities yet? Have they made the final decision on that?
They have. The administration made the decision, and they managed to get language added to legislation this past fall. Congress never voted on the merits of it. They never debated whether or not this was a wise move from a disclosure and privacy perspective or from a business perspective based on cost. So they have the authority. Now, the IRS has said that they intend to award contracts this month to private collection agencies to do the tax collection work of the IRS. They were supposed to do this in January, but they said they were going to do it in January, but the process was delayed by a lawsuit that was filed by one of the private collection agencies who was protesting the process that the IRS was using. So absolutely, the IRS currently has the authority to do this, and they say they are going to do it this month and put this tax collection information in the hands of these private collection agencies in June or July is what they are now telling us.
And when this was such an abysmal a failure, how many years ago was this a failure?
It was 1996.
What were some of the complaints? What were some of the concerns? What were some of the reasons it was such a failure?
Well, one of the problems was the private collection agencies were not nearly as successful in collecting the taxes as IRS employees were. So the performance was bad, but there were also many complaints with the Federal Trade Commission about taxpayer harassment and calling people in the 96, or I'm sorry, under the rules today, under the law, you cannot be contacted about debt collection other than between the hours of, I believe it's 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. There's a law in the books called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And there were instances reported where taxpayers were contacted at 4 o'clock in the morning by these private collection agencies harassing them about non-payment of their taxes or payment of taxes that were due. Now, I mentioned the Federal Trade Commission. Those complaints, not just about private tax collection or private collection agencies doing IRS work, but in general, the number of complaints filed with the FTC are at its highest when it comes to private collection agencies to debt collectors. Over 56,000 complaints were filed last year, according to the FTC, and they say that's only a fraction of the actual number of people who have problems with debt collectors.
Wait a minute. Okay, these are just with private debt collectors
yes.
that are not collecting tax debt yet.
That's right, Liz.
Just 56,000?
Yes. And the FTE says that 17% of all their complaints received are about debt collectors in general.
Now, the other concern that I have about this is question that I have, if the IRS hands off responsibility of tax debt collection to a private entity, does that also include the handing off of the authority of the federal that a federal agency like the IRS has as well?
They say that the answer is no, that the administration of the tax law will stay with the IRS. However, I think taxpayers should be very concerned about a couple of things. First, once these cases are assigned to the private collection agency, the taxpayer will no longer have the option of dealing with the IRS. They will have to work with his private collection agency and will not be able to say, I want this done by the IRS. And the second thing that I think we need to stay focused on has to do with this cost and the 25% bounty. The last time I checked, 25% of zero is zero. So if these collection agencies are not bringing in taxes, they are not going to be receiving any payment. And this, in my view, is an invitation for aggressive, overzealous, and inappropriate collection tactics. And I believe that's what we will see. We saw it back in 1996 with them not complying with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And in 1996, they were not being paid based on a bounty.
Mm. And in terms of transparency on the part of the taxpayer, would I as a taxpayer know that I'm dealing with a collection agency and not the IRS?
Taxpayers would know. My understanding is they will receive a notice from the IRS saying your tax debt has been handed over to this private collection agency and you will now deal with them. But that will be the first time that taxpayers know. In my view, the administration and the IRS are doing everything they can to ensure that America's taxpayers do not know this is coming down the road. And I think that's wrong. I think taxpayers need to know, and I think if American taxpayers knew, they would be outraged, and they would say, what can I do to stop this? And the answer is they need to contact their congressmen and their senators and to let them know that this is unacceptable, that they find it inappropriate as a taxpayer, that they know that IRS employees are the ones who should do the work of the IRS. When they send their confidential tax information and financial information in, they expect no one to have access to it other than IRS employees and the IRS.
And what could stop this private company from taking all of your information and giving it to anybody who they want it to?
Well,
and what's the protection of somebody going into a collections office and having access to your information? What are the protections of fired employees from taking your files and doing anything that they want to with them?
Well, I think those are excellent questions, Liz, and I think that, you know, there are not very good answers. From a practical standpoint, probably if a collection agency violated the rules, they would maybe lose their contract with the IRS, or maybe they would be told never to do it again. But that's about it. It's not going to bring the work back to the IRS employees where it belongs and where it can be done best.
And what about identity theft? What mechanisms are in place for people? Because it's not going to just be my Social Security number that could be in my file. There could be all kinds of other people's information in there as well.
Absolutely. And in this day and age, with all of the potential for identity theft and invasions of privacy and other issues, it is a very real issue that needs to be front and center. And again, this administration, if they are so sure that this is a good thing for the country, they should be out there announcing it to taxpayers and announcing all the reasons they're doing this. And you don't see them doing that. They're trying to keep it here inside the Beltway, trying to keep it very quiet until the day they issue those letters to taxpayers announcing that they have turned their financial information and the work of the IRS over to these private collection agencies.
Has there been any, I mean, is there any kind of formula, any kind of formula that would determine whether or not your tax stuff is going to be turned over to a collector or kept within the IRS? How's that going to be decided?
Well, the IRS says that they are working on a computer system that will do case selection, that will decide which cases are handed to private collection agencies and which cases are worked by IRS employees. However, you know, they have been doing all of this work and this computer work over the years, and it has been highlighted by many, including the Inspector General of Treasury and the General Accounting Office, that the IRS does not have good controls or oversight over the contractors that they work with today. So the idea that they would be given authority to work with these new contractors where such serious and important financial and private information is going to be accessible does not make me or any employees of the IRS comfortable that this will be done right. The IRS has proven over and over again that they do not have appropriate oversight in place for the contractors that they deal with today.
Well, I guess my other concern would be, or should we be concerned with a selection process that is patently unfair, that could be sexist, that could be racist, that could be based upon class and income, that certain people are going to be sent off to these people that have no oversight over them, and then other people who could fight back are not going to be sent to these people?
I think the types of cases that are handed to the private collection agencies, that it's a very valid concern as to how those cases will be determined. At some point, the IRS needs to have transparency and make clear, if they proceed with this, how they are selecting those, and they sure should be able to answer any allegations about that, and they sure should be able to show that the criteria are based on business reasons, not on any of those very serious issues which you cite. But absent transparency and absent, a lot of forthrightness, which we have not seen on this issue to the American public to date, I think the questions are absolutely fair and appropriate, and the IRS needs to be accountable for all of that.
And so this could still be stopped.
It could be stopped. NTEU has legislation that we have support for up on the Hill. In the House of Representatives, it's Bill 1621.
And hold that thought, please, because I want to get that out to our listeners after we take this break.
Okay.
I'm talking to the president of the National Treasury Employees Union, Colleen Kelly. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Stay with me.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now, so I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, state representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, treasurer.
Homeowners, if you want to spend less on bills, how about reducing your mortgage payment up to 35%? It's easy with Quicken Loans. Just write down this number, 800-308-0133. Quicken Loans can show you how to cut your mortgage payment up to 35% so you can make your money work harder, like paying off high-interest credit card bills, affording home improvements, or increasing your retirement savings. Just call 800-308-0133. With over 150 exclusive loan products, the mortgage experts at Quicken Loan have something for you. This could be the most valuable call you'll make all year long. Find out how you can cut your monthly mortgage payments up to 35%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-308-0133. 800-308-0133. Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call now, 800-308-0133.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Yesterday, these guys I know offered me some weed, and I smoked it. Then today, they said I should try to outrun Tick-Tick, the lumberyard dog. I'm now pretty sure I can't. Good Tick-Tick! I'm an idiot.
Live above the influence. Above them, above weed. And check out AboveTheInfluence.com.
Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Around the world, around the world, behind the story. Behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call. Wake Up Call. Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. I am talking this morning to the president of the National Treasury Employees Union. She's joining us from Washington, D.C., Colleen Kelly. And we're talking about this tax debt privatization that is going on in Washington, D.C., where your private tax information would be placed in the hands of private companies with what appears to be no oversight in an effort to collect tax debt. And Colleen, you were telling us about the bills that are that this could be stopped, that there are some bills that are percolating through Congress.
Yes, in fact, the IRS did not have authority to turn any of this work over to private collection agencies until they had legislation passed by this administration just this past fall. So it would take legislation to stop it. And there is a bill that has been introduced in the House of Representatives. The number is 1621. And this bill would revoke the IRS's authority to hire private debt collectors.
So what's the support for this bill?
Well, we actually have some bipartisan support because what they recognize is, first, the issue of disclosure and privacy, and second is the issue of who can do this work more cost-effectively for the America's taxpayers. So we have support, but not enough yet. We need more. And any of your listeners who would contact their congressman or senator and ask them to sign on as a co-sponsor of this bill to protect their privacy and to have the work of the IRS done by IRS employees would be a big help.
And again, that bill number is
1621 in the House of Representatives.
Is there any support over in the Senate side?
We are working on having a similar bill introduced in the Senate, and we hope to do that shortly.
And in terms of public response to this, once they find out about it, what do you hear?
Without exception, when we hear from taxpayers who finally know about this, they are outraged. They think it's wrong. They think it's inappropriate. They don't want they don't want a couple of things. They don't want the work of the IRS done by anyone other than IRS employees. They do not want their tax information or their financial information or those of their neighbors or friends or families put in the hands of anyone other than IRS employees who are accountable. And they want the IRS and this administration to do what's best for the country from a cost perspective. And if the option of returning most of the money collected to the general treasury is an option, which it is in this case, if there were enough IRS employees to do this work, taxpayers want this done the most cost effectively. And that means, without exception, like I said, no matter which report you look at, a lot of people have said, well, what does NTU think the return on this would be? And we have purposely not put forward numbers because they would just be, you know, challenged and questioned and assumed that we're not using all the facts. So we've left it to others, like the prior IRS commissioner, who said that for every $1 spent on IRS employees to do this work, $29 would be returned back to the Treasury. That's from the IRS commissioner from just 2.5 years ago.
Now, in terms of a, let's say that I'm a taxpayer out there and I have a tax debt that I need to pay to the government, and it's handed over to a private company. I know that if I'm working with the IRS that there are different options that I could be given as a payback process. Would I have the same types of options that I could get from the IRS if it's handed over to a private contractor? And two, what would be the incentive of a private contractor to engage in any kind of deal with me or any kind of payment plan with me when they get a certain amount of money for the money that's returned?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. I mean, from what I'm told, these private collection agencies will have some authority to work out agreements, payment agreements, but only to a certain degree, surely not the whole range of options that IRS employees would have available. And I think the second question is really, you know, the important one. If they are being paid by being able to keep 25% of what they collect, they are going to want to be collecting the maximum amount possible so that they get that full 25% of the higher amount.
What can they do to you what could a collecting agency do to a citizen in collecting a tax debt to get the money from them? Certainly they don't have the threat that the IRS has.
Well, from a technical standpoint, they should not be able to do anything other than contact a taxpayer and contact them, you know, by phone, by letter, obviously, as frequently as possible in an effort to get the dollars collected. But that's the same thing that IRS employees do today. The problem is Congress has not funded the IRS at levels to allow the IRS to hire enough employees to do all of this tax collection work. That's what this has always been about. This has never, ever been about who does the work best. Everyone agrees it's the IRS employees. It's that there are not enough of them in order to work with all the taxpayers who either need assistance or, and there are a handful, surely, who have been not complying with the tax laws, but an awful lot of these taxpayers acknowledge their debt, and they want to work with the IRS to pay it. They just cannot write the check today.
In terms of the who gets the contract, what private entity gets this contract, how much weight will you all have in deciding which company gets the contract?
NTEU and employees will have absolutely nothing to say about which companies are given these contracts. That's a decision that will be made solely by the IRS based on the companies that bid for this work. And as you can imagine, there are many companies bidding because it is such a lucrative opportunity for them with this 25%. So there will be absolutely no decision-making role for NTU or for employees. And if I could just add one other thing, Liz, one of the things about this legislation, when it was passed, it does not even require that the companies who do this work be U.S. companies.
Oh, for crying out loud.
There is no requirement. Now, the IRS will tell you that in this announcement they just did to give this first round, because this will only be the first round, they have said that that this work initially needs to be done in the U.S. But the legislation that this administration passed allows this work, this IRS tax collection work, to be done outside of this country. That's another reason this legislation needs turned around and blocked.
And in terms of how much money these companies will get paid, we keep talking about this 25% bounty that they get. Will they get paid other monies?
My understanding is that is the payment. Now, I have not looked at the potential contracts lately, but I believe it's all based on what they collect, and therein lies part of the problem.
So there's no administrative, because we were told that it was only going to cost a certain amount of money for this Medicaid prescription contract, too. So that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only money that the government is going, that these people are going to get paid.
Well, in fact, your question, an excellent one, just reminded me of another cost that is not being factored in. The IRS is creating a workforce of IRS employees whose job it will be to oversee these private collection agencies who are being paid 25% of what they collect.
So then it does cost us.
It costs us.
Employees that should be doing the things of collecting taxes for us are now being put in the job position of being an administrator for private companies that are kept collecting bounties on American citizens for their work?
You are absolutely right, yes.
So what will that do to the staffing in the IRS? How much of your staff will be set aside for the administration responsibilities for these private companies?
Well, remembering that they are just starting this, the number we know of so far is that there will be about 140 IRS employees who are doing the administration work of these private collection agency contracts. But that is only the beginning, Liz, because this first round, the IRS says they are announcing three companies. They expect to select three companies, but that's just the beginning. They expect within a year to select another, I think it's 7 to 10 more companies. So the number of IRS employees who have to administer this private collection agency in their contracts will only increase as the number increases.
You're talking about three companies right now?
Right now. They say they're going to pick three this month.
And it's going to take over 100 IRS employees to administer that?
That's what the IRS has told us. So that's 140 IRS employees, as you said, who could be doing the tax collection work of the IRS instead of administering the private collection agencies.
And what's the number of that bill again, Colleen?
1621 in the House of Representatives, 1621.
And if people wanted to contact you and your organization to get involved to find out more information about this, how would they do that?
They can go to our website at www.nteu.org, and you will find a letter there that lays out all the facts and a suggestion of what you could send to your congressional representative to stop this action by the IRS with this legislation 1621.
And what's that phone number, please?
The phone number at NTU is 202-572-5500, and the website with the sample letter and information is www.nteu.org.
Colleen Kelly, President of the National Treasury Employees Union, thanks for the scary news.
Thank you, Liz, for getting this information out to America's taxpayers. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. You need to stay with me. I'll be back for your questions and comments.
Global News Update. Dateline New York. The brother of ABC anchorman Bob Woodruff says the newsman is still in the hospital but is starting to come around. David Woodruff says his brother is doing a lot better. He was injured 5 weeks ago in Iraq when an improvised explosive device went off as a convoy carrying him and his cameraman passed by while it was out on patrol. Woodruff suffered serious head and upper body injuries. He was wearing body armor, and doctors say that probably saved his life. His brother says he started to say a few words now and has been up walking for short periods as well. And Dateline Chicago. In an op-ed piece yesterday in the Chicago Sun-Times, the Reverend Jesse Jackson says the federal government is complicit in an effort to destroy the city of New Orleans. Jackson says the population has been reduced from 450,000 mostly black residents to about 150,000 residents now mostly white. There is an upcoming election for mayor and city officials next month, but the way the government has displaced New Orleans residents will not permit them to vote in that election, and the government is unwilling to make any provisions for them to cast a ballot. According to Jackson, the state of Louisiana has the addresses of registered voters who have been displaced by Hurricane Katrina, but refuses to make them available to local candidates or election officials. This means the vote in New Orleans will take place with a secret voter roll. And the District Court of Louisiana will not postpone the voting to prevent an unfair election either. Jackson says the U.S. government made provisions for satellite polling places here in the United States for Iraqi nationals so they could cast ballots in their election last year, and also made provisions for Mexicans to cast their votes here for Mexican elections. But it won't help its own American citizens exercise their own right to vote by providing the same access to the ballot box. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right. Where else are you going to be able to find washers, dryers, DVDs, and a hometown celebration day sale? Monday, March 13th, 10% off of regular and sale items right here in your own hometown. How appropriate! Apropos, hometown celebration day at Sears 3425 Union. Jerome Williams is the owner-operator. Get on down to Sears for their hometown celebration day, March 13th, a 10% off, wonderful deals. When you get there, I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler, not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. serving the community since 1979.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. And if you want to, you want to check out the shows, do that at whiterosesociety.org, because we are archived there daily, whiterosesociety.org. So if you miss an hour, that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. You can go get it at whiterosesociety.org, whiterosesociety.org. Pick up on our shows that you may have missed, our stories that we have covered, our issues that we have addressed. Do that at whiterosesociety.org. And also, don't forget that I am also podcast at whiterosesociety.org. And we are streamed daily at WGNU.net, so you don't have to miss anything from Xenia to Zimbabwe. We got it all. We got it all. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Bob.
Yeah. I called because this would be interesting to find out who's going to end up being the investors in these collection companies, any new companies come online.
So you're talking about what we were talking about in this last hour about
yes,
privatizing the
tax. You know, just
collection.
Like Rumsfeld turned out to be owning some of these vaccine companies.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to find out who end up being the investors in some of these companies.
And
you said there were three that was going to be initiated,
mm-hmm.
but if it does pass, it'd be interesting to see who. 25% of tax debt collection is an awful lot of money.
That's an awful lot of money. That's an awful lot of money. And mm-hmm. also think about it. You have no administrative costs. You have no administrative costs mm-hmm. because the IRS is covering your administrative costs. So they're doing all the paperwork and everything for you. I mean, if it takes over 100 employees to administer the tax collection of three private companies, 100 IRS people to run that, know that's just gravy. What a wonderful deal for a business. All you got to do is hire people to harass American citizens, and you get a quarter of whatever it is you bring in.
Yes.
With no administrative costs. That's the sweetest deal that I know of.
That's what make me curious about who's going to be ending up the investors in
mm-hmm.
some of these collection
mm-hmm.
companies. And the thing is, you know, if they get to pick and choose who's going to be the contractors, that's really suspicious.
And how scary is it that prior to handing out these collection agencies, or handing this out to private collection agencies, the IRS began the process, something that they've never done before, of putting on everybody's file whether you are registered Republican or registered Democrat.
And see, all this stuff doesn't make sense unless you have a pretense ideal about things that's coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
If your mindset is in one direction, see, this is my thing. A lot of things that just doesn't make sense unless you have a mindset pretense about what you have suspicion of what's going on.
All right.
And then everything falls into line.
There you go. Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Bob is right. Bob is right. This government is... Three companies will take 100 IRS employees to manage. I don't know of a sweeter deal. I don't know of a sweeter deal for a business. You get 25% of whatever it is you bring in, and there are no administrative costs. I guess except for hiring the employees to run the phones. But it's a great deal. It's a great, great, great deal. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is the other number.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Dee.
You know, that with the IRS thing,
mm-hmm.
have you heard this thing here in St. Louis called Crime Stoppers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I accidentally called them one day, and I asked them, well, you're a private company. They're a private company. And what they're, in essence, is doing is hiring bounty hunters
mm-hmm.
to turn in citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the government is doing. And that's the same principle that the government is doing, giving these people a certain percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're paying them.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying them. We're firing our own people and paying private people to be bounty hunters.
And did you hear what Colleen said, that they don't even have to use American companies?
Yeah.
They can send your tax information to, I don't know.
We're
think
paying
of a company
people
that
to subterfuge us.
Isn't that something?
It's,
and then
it's
pay,
horrendous.
Not even paying American citizens to do it.
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
We're hiring our people, hiring them to harass us.
Isn't that amazing?
Thank you.
That amazing?
Continue teaching us.
All right, now, thanks, D. 454-0400 is my phone number. Oh! 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, if you want to fax me, you can do that at 454-6609, 454-6609. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Don't forget, tomorrow is Justice for Reggie. And also, it is Eye on the Loop. Eye on the Loop. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, this is Ike.
Yes, Ike.
Yeah, I hear it. But I'm talking about the IRS, but I'll tell you something. That don't make sense to us. The tax we pay for just go to the government. Now, what the government going to pay somebody for the money they need to run this sorry country? I don't think it's going to go.
All right. Thanks for your call. I would have thought the same thing, too, but I looked at the prescription access for seniors to prescription medical coverage. All the money we're paying them and all the little stuff we're getting back in return, they've done this kind of stuff before. Bad fiscal decisions. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, here's what you need to do. Stay strong.
Tonight, bad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brighter.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Two suspects are due in court now in Birmingham, Alabama. They're charged in a series of church bombings. More from ABC's Pierre Thomas in Washington.
Two law enforcement sources tell ABC News that two men have been charged in connection with the recent church fires in Alabama. They have an identity on the third man, and that man is being sought. Law enforcement officials tell ABC News that the arrests are associated with a black SUV that was seen near the church fires, and law enforcement